ജയം വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിപ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്കി ജയം നിത്യലീല പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിപ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വ മഹാരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്കി അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ഡഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനയ്ക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമാനന്ദ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബിൾഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബിൾഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബിൾഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരു ആൻഡ് ശ്രീ ഗൗരംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ശ്രീ ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ് നമാം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമി നിധി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണേ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാദ് ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാനാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോർസ്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യദ പ്രഭോ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യദോന്വയാദിതരതശ്ചാർത്തേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാൻ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി യത് സൂരയ തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ ധാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മപ്രോജ്ജിത കൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണാം സദാം വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനികൃതേ വരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യദേത്രകൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭി തക്ഷണാ നിഗമകൽപതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുകമുഖാദമൃതദ്രവസംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോരസികാ ഭൂയി ഭാവുകാഹ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നുമാ യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുഭേദമഭേദകൃത്യം യനോ വിരഹകാതരമാജ്ജുഹാവാം പുത്രേതിതൻ തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനതോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അദ്ധ്യാത്മദീപമതിതിതീർഷതാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനുമുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണൂകുണിതാതൃദാനനേന്ദോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാ മുരാരേ ദൃണ്ണക്കണികാഭി കാഭി കാഭീം ഓം വിഷ്ണുപദായ പ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമി നിധി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണി ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ട യാസാം ഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദീഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിതചക്രശംഖം కౌమోదగీ సరసిజం కరుణా సముద్రం రాధా సహాయమతి సుందర మందహాసం వాతాళయేశ మనిషం హృది భావయామి కోమళం కూజయన్ వేణుం శ్యామళోయం కుమారక వేదవేద్యపరం బ్రహ్మ భాసదాం పురతో మమ మూగం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగుం లంఘయదే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమః శ్రీరాధికాయే నమః సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. So today is Srimati Radharani's appearance day. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, while talking about the five chapters referring to the Rasa Panchadhyayi, that means the five chapters referring to Rasa dance, Sridharacharya Swamiji mentions there about Radharani. He talks about Radharani there. What he prays to Radharani is, Yasam buddhye tavadartham, yasam eva prasadada, tasam vande padarenam yadvasho sadatam hari. That's a verse which is famous. Sridhar Swami's commentary, Yasam buddhye tavadartham. That means to understand Srimal Bhagavadam, particularly those five chapters, referring to known as Rasa Panchadhyayi, to understand that Yasam eva prasadada, only by whose mercy one can understand the meaning of that Rasa dance. That's how Sridhar Swami mentions about Radharani. Yasam buddhye tavadhartham, by whose mercy the meaning of this Rasa dance will enter into our buddhi. He says, Yasam buddhye tavadartham, Yasam eva prasadada, by whose mercy alone this will happen. Tasam vande padarenam, I take the shelter of the dust of the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. Sridhar Swami mentions that there. So such an important Radharani's position. She is the chit shakti whom we refer to. Satya, chitta, anandam. Three things refer to the soul, isn't it? That chit shakti is Radharani. Chit Shakti is Radharani. That means the awareness what we all have inside us all the time, that awareness is Radharani. So we have to understand it that way. Radharani, of course, is, she is a gopi in Vrindavanam and all that. That is the Bhagavadam, Rasa dance is in that direction, but on a spiritual position, Radharani is a Chit Shakti inside all of us. Yasam buddhye tavadartham, Yasam eva prasadada, tasam vande padarenam, under who a shelter, or in other words, by the mercy of Radharani alone, this spiritual knowledge will be revealed to us. It's Chit Shakti who reveals all the knowledge to us, is it not? The Chit Shakti has to give it to us from inside. Andaryami as present inside is also that Chit Shakti. Krishna's another aspect is that Shirshakti. And then Yami we refer to. So, Tasam Buddhye Tavad Artham Yasam Eva Prasada Tasam Vande Padarenum. To the dust of the lotus feet of Srimadhi Radharani, Yadvashe Satatam Hari, under whose control is always Krishna. Krishna is under whose control all the time. Yasam Buddhye Tavad Artham Yasam Eva Prasada Tasam Vande Padarenum Yadvashe Satatam Hari. Sridhara Swami mentions this in the introduction to the Rasa Dance chapters in the Bhagavadam. That is how he begins the five chapters of the Rasa Dance in the Bhagavadam. Similarly, here in Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna is saying all these things in the eighth chapter, if we have to understand this, it has to happen only by Radharani's mercy. Otherwise, it is difficult. Because it is so complex, the whole chapter, this eighth chapter, which we have discussed so many days, although we may intellectually understand many things, still, in order that it becomes aparoksham. What we hear is paroksham. And paroksham, when it goes inside, through proper contemplation and proper mananam or reflection of that, it has to become aparoksham. Aparoksham means it has to come into our experience. Only then it is of some benefit to us. Only when it becomes aparoksham, it is of some benefit to us. Otherwise, simply it remains on an intellectual level. And it is her mercy that converts that from paroksham to aparoksham. It is Radharani's kripa, Radharani's kindness that changes everything from paroksham to aparoksham. So, yesterday we were discussing these difficult verses. Don't know how to explain this. Avyaktad vyaktaya sarva, 18th verse in the 8th chapter. 18th verse. Avyaktad vyaktaya sarvaha prabhavandi aharagame ryatriagame priliyande tatrai avyakta samyake. Krishna says there, and then in the next verse, Krishna mentions, bhutagramasa evayam bhutva bhutva priliyate ryatriagame avashapartha prabhavati aharagame. Two verses, one to next to each other, talking about something which is very very subtle and very complicated also. In the first verse, Krishna is saying, avyaktad vyaktaya sarva prabhavadi aharagame ryatriagame priliyande ratrai avyakta samyage. Krishna is saying, in the next verse, Krishna is saying, bhudagramasa evayam bhutva bhutva priliyate ryatriagame avashapartha prabhavadi aharagame. So, we have seen that yesterday. Going back through that again, just to recapitulate on that, Krishna mentioned yesterday, we saw there that the changes in the body, that's what we were talking about, isn't it? Changes in the body, changes in the mind, changes in the intelligence, changes in the ego, everything changing. The person who went to sleep yesterday is not the same person who is waking up in the morning. They are two different persons. Body has changed in the night. Mind also has gone through a lot of changes. Everything has changed. But when you wake up the next morning, we say that the person has woken up. Which person are you referring to? Because the person who has gone to sleep is not the same person who is waking up the next morning. It's a different person altogether. So, we say that the same person who went to sleep has woken up the next day. But actually, he is not. He is not the same person. So, that ahankaram inside, or that vyaktam, we talked about two things, avyaktam and vyaktam. Krishna mentions from avyaktam comes vyaktam, isn't it? In the early pages, you will see there, avyaktad vyaktaya sarva, he says. From avyaktam comes vyaktam. Avyaktam means unmanifested form. Vyaktam means some form comes out of that unmanifested thing, manifested form. So from avyaktam comes vyaktam. Sarva, Krishna says, all forms comes from that avyaktam. All forms comes from that avyaktam. So when I identify with I, it's called vyaktam. Because I got an identification now. Previously, I didn't have any identification. I was in the avyaktam state. unmanifested state. Therefore, I didn't have an identity. But when I have got an identity, aham, when I wake up in the morning, first thing, I comes first. I wake up, isn't it? I woken up, you say. So everything begins with I from then on, the whole day is I. So that waking up of the I, with that what all happens? In the deep sleep state, no I. Everything was gone. We slept comfortably. Where was the I then? There was no I in our experience, isn't it? No body, no mind, no intelligence, no ego. That ego is the I. So I was gone. When we woke up in the morning, first thing what did we say? That we will immediately connect ourselves with the yesterday. So that I who connects with the yesterday and today, or the person of yesterday and the person today, to connect together these two, one I is required. That identity, that means yesterday's I and today's I, the person who connects yesterday's I with today's I, that identity, that is called vyaktam. That is vyaktam. So, and that vyaktam, Krishna is saying here, avyaktad vyaktaya sarve. That vyaktam manifestation has come from the avyaktam. That is one thing to understand. Avyaktad vyaktaya sarve. Because when we move on to the next verse, Krishna is going to explain about another avyaktam there. There are two different things. Parastasmastu bhavonyo vyakto vyaktad sanatana. Yasa sarveshu bhudeshu nashetsuna vinashari. So there are two avyaktams here. One avyaktam which is spoken in the 18th and the 19th verses. And in the 20th verses, there is another avyaktam Krishna is talking about, which is different. Parastasmastu bhavonyo vyakto avyaktad sanatana. Yasa sarveshu bhudeshu nashetsuna vinashari. So there are two avyaktams and Krishna is talking about this avyaktam which is different than the first avyaktam. First avyaktam. Let's understand that clearly. So, this avyaktam, from avyaktam, first thing to know is this, that we have this our false ego. That's coming from one avyaktam. From one avyaktam, that comes out. Which one? Our identity as the ego, as the self whom we identify ourselves as I, isn't it? I, we identify like that. Then we have seen also yesterday that second avyaktam, which is that parastasmastu bhavonyo avyaktad vyaktad sanatana yasa sarveshu bhudeshu nashyetsu na vinashyati. Krishna is saying there. Krishna is saying here that there is another avyaktam that vyakti, this avyaktam which wakes up in the morning and disappears in the night. This is one avyaktam, is it not? The one avyaktam which comes up in the morning, that disappears in the night. When we go to deep sleep state, that avyaktam goes away. Vyakti personality comes up and personality disappears. Personality, that is. Personality. Jiva bhav, in other words. Now, in the deep sleep state, there is an avyaktam. There is an avyaktam state there also. And there is this as a witness to this avyaktam which has gone away, there is another avyaktam which is there, which is all the time inside us, which is always present in us in the form of awareness, bodham. That bodham is coming from a different avyaktam. That is what Krishna is saying there. That verse you have to understand very clearly. Parastasmastu bhavonyo avyaktad sanatana, Krishna says there, isn't it? 20th verse, if you look, you will see, Krishna is saying, parastasmat tu bhavo anyo avyakto avyaktad sanatana. Parastasmat tu bhavo anyo avyakto avyaktad sanatana. Yasha yasaha sarveshu bhudeshu, in all living entities, it is there, nashyetsu na vinashyati, which you can never destroy. Do you understand the difference between the two things? One is our false ego, that can be destroyed, whereas this one cannot be destroyed. And because they are like that, they are coming from two different avyaktam, Krishna is saying. The false ego is coming from one avyaktam, and this awareness is coming from another avyaktam. Krishna's Krishna is saying to us that paro vedirikto bhinnaha kritaha tasmad pura uttatu shabdaha aksharasya vivakshidasya avyaktad vailakshanyam pradarshanartha bhavaha aksharakhyam param brahmaha. That awareness is param brahmam. It is brahmam, it is Krishna. Devotees call us Krishna. Another word is brahmam, Bhagavan, Paramatma, in whichever way you address that, it is from there, this avyaktam, that this awareness is coming, which is coming from a different source. Now, I also mentioned yesterday that although both are coming from avyaktam, we should not misunderstand that the swarupam, they are of the same swarupam. they have been separated, they have been spoken as separated. Because the second avyaktam, the second awareness, is not possible to perceive that by any senses. That is the main difference. The second one, which we call as the awareness, that cannot be perceived by any senses. Whereas the other one can be perceived by the mind, the ahankaram inside, isn't it? False ego. False ego is operating, we say every time. We can't see it, but senses can talk to us that sometimes you feel very proud or highly ego personality. At that time you can say that there is ahankaram in the person. So that ahankaram or ego you can sense in a person. Whereas this one, this second one, awareness, avabhodam, it cannot be perceived by any senses. Therefore, he mentions here, vedirikthatve sati abhisa lakshanya swarupa prasangaha asti idi tad vini vityartham aha anya idi anyo vilakshanasaja avyaktaha anindriya gocharaha. It is avyaktam anindriya gocharam. No senses can perceive this avyaktam, where it is coming from, this awareness, in other words. So two things. One, the individual ego, false ego, which we call as the jiva, individual self, which comes from one avyaktam, and the other one, which is awareness or avabhodham, which is always present in all of us in the form of awareness, that comes from another avyaktam. Para tasmad idi uktam kasmad puna paraha. In other words, all living entities are born and all living entities are born because the ajnanam present inside. When does this birth happens of the jiva? Jiva's birth happens when it takes birth from the avyaktam. From the avyaktam, it takes birth. In the avyaktam, it takes birth. And the reason for the birth of a jiva is purely due to ajnanam, avidya. When ajnanam or avidya is there in a person, it happens that it takes birth in the form of a jiva. So the cause of the the birth of a jiva is ajnanam. Ajnanam is the cause of the birth of a jiva. Avidya, in other words. That is the conclusion. So, purvotad bhudagrama bija bhudad avidya lakshanan avyaktad sanatanaha chirandanayasa bhava sarveshu bhudeshu brahmadishu nashyatsuna vinashyati. So, jiva will disappear one day. Jiva bhavam will go. But the other one, the one which has come from the awareness, that will never die. Jiva bhavam will die one day. Jiva cannot survive in that ahankaram forever. One day when it gets released from ajnanam, through knowledge when it gets released, then its jiva bhavam has gone. So that is what we were talking about yesterday. Avyaktad vyaktaya sarva parastasmastu bhavanyo vyakto avyaktad sanatanaha yasa sarveshu bhudeshu nashyatsuna vinashyati. We have also seen yesterday that from avyaktam, that one thing, this from the avyaktam, this personality takes birth and then it disappears later, isn't it? It disappears later. Personality takes birth and then it disappears later. Is it not? It disappears later. in the morning it appears, in the night it disappears when it goes to sleep. So it comes from a avyaktam. Secondly, you can see here that in the avyaktam, in the sushupti state, that sushupti, deep sleep state, that avyaktam is a witness to everything. It is a witness to everything, because you can see in the deep sleep state, in the deep sleep state, when we have gone to a deep sleep, the first vyaktam, which has come from the jiva bhavam, that goes away. That goes away, isn't it? Dissolves somewhere. From the avyaktam where it has come, it goes back and dissolves there. But in that, even then, even in that deep sleep state, that awareness of the awareness, what is present there in the form of the that has manifested from the other avyaktam, that is present there still. And that is what is telling us, that because even though it is covered, is a witness there, and even though it is covered, that the other avyaktam, the personalities, everything is covered with tamogunam in the deep sleep state, isn't it? Tamogunam is the deep sleep. Deep sleep is tamogunam present there. So in spite of all that tamogunam, he is present there as a witness, and he is beyond that coverage, thick coverage, what is present there. Avaranam. Avaranam is a word they used in the Shastram. Avaranam means that strong, thick coverage in the deep sleep. And this avyaktam is, this one thing that is manifested from the avyaktam is beyond that coverage, in other words. And Sanatanam, that is what Krishna is saying there. That avyaktam, which has come from this avyaktad sanatanaha, Krishna says, it is sanatanam, which means this awareness is sanatanam. Yasa sarveshu bhudeshu, in all living entities, nashyat suna vinashyati, even if they all die, that avyaktam doesn't die, doesn't get destroyed. Why? Because that thing which has come from this avyaktam is sat, it is not asat. It is not asata, it is sata. Yasa sarveshu bhudeshu nashyatsuna vinashyati. Krishna is saying like that. That is the important thing to understand from those two verses. So, yesterday when we spoke about that, we mentioned also that sanatana, that the principle. So, jagrat, sapnam, sushupti, in all these three states, it never goes through any changes, and he does not have any one who realizes that he is not going through any changes. Krishna mentioned all that, and I also mentioned that Nachiketas asked this question in the Kathopanishad to whom? To Yamadharmaraja. And Yama answered at that time, so a few things, Yamadharmaraja first refused to talk to him about it, isn't it? He didn't want to discuss that with him. He mentions to him that Brahmavidya alone, don't talk to me about that, he said. He did not want to discuss about Brahmavidya with him. So, here, something important that we saw there yesterday, that Ye ye kama durlabha martya loge sarvan kaman chandada prarthayaswam imaramaha saradhaha saturya nahidrisham lambhaniya manusheihi abhirmal prathabi parijarayaswa najigedo maranam manuprakshi. Verse 25. He says, so many things he offered what is not available in the earthly planet. First, he offered every happiness of the earthly planet. When he offered earthly planet, Nachiketa said, no, I don't want any of those, he said. So, to tempt him more, Yamadharmaraja offers him now more sense gratification from the heavenly planets. He says to him, from the heavenly planets. And says to him that what you don't get in the human human species or in the earthly planet, and much more divine forms of sense enjoyment, he says to him. Imaha, imaha ramaha sarada saturya nahidrisha lambhaniya manushyaihi. It is not possible for human species to get this happiness, he says. Even the human species, you can't get it. Saying that, he introduces here all the happiness of the heavenly planets to Nachiketas. He says to him that what are they? Nahi abhirmal prathabi parijarayastu nachiketo maranam manuprakshi shobhavo martyasyadandagaidal sarvendriyanam jarayanti tejaham api sarvam jividam alpameva avaiva vahastava natyageete. He says to him that except death you can ask me anything. Yamadharmaraja says to Nachiketas, don't ask me about death. Anything apart from death you can talk to me, he says to him. And and he told him about the apsaras women from the heavenly planets who can sing and dance, and all the their beauty and things like that. He spoke to him. At that time he says to him, Nachiketas says to him, what is the use? He says to him that ultimately I have this body, and this body, how long can it enjoy? This is how Yamadharmaraja is testing the resolve of Nachiketas, how far he is fixed in spiritual life. Otherwise, it's no point in talking about all these things to him. If a person is not fixed in his resolve, in his goal, it is no point in talking to him about anything. So this is normal system, that rishis won't talk to somebody who has not fixed in spiritual life. Fixed in spiritual life means that he has no desire for sense gratification, first thing. Freedom from sense enjoyment. So he says to him that Nachiketas' reply was more interesting than Yamadharmaraja's offer. Nachiketas says to him that all sense gratification, he says, all sense gratification is not permanent. None of them is permanent. Because as long as you enjoy the senses, the senses gets weak. The senses gets weak. No matter how long the life is, one day it is going to go. It is going to go. And once you have that thoughts inside, how can you enjoy the senses? Who Nachiketas says to Yama, that as long as I know my body is going to go one day and it's going to get weaker, and if in that situation, how do I enjoy anything? He said to, you know, that shows that Nachiketas' determination inside to go in the spiritual life. He's decided that I want nothing but self-realization. That is Nachiketas' position. He does not want to make any concessions, not want to make any compromise on that. You can make me any offer, but I'm not interested. But at the end of the day, this body is going to go one day, and this body is going to suffer one day, it's going to get weak and die one day. So what is the point, he says to. In other words, in that transaction between Yamadharmaraja and Nachiketas, you can see Nachiketas' determination inside, how firm he is on self-realization. That is why Kathopanishad is all about that firmness inside, that I want to realize the truth now in this life here, not later. I don't want to hear what happens after the death. Right now, what can you do? This is Nachiketas' question to him. So you can keep all your, he says to him, you can keep all your divine and heavenly happiness to yourself, he said. All the apsaras life, women, and all the happiness of the heavenly world, what you are offering to me, you can keep that to yourself. Nachiketas says to Yama, na vittena tarpaniyo manushyo lapsyamahe vittamadrashma chetva jivishyamo yavadishishya satyam varastume varaniyasayeva. He also gives examples that wealth will not satisfy anybody. And I also know, he says, that I've come to you and you have so much wealth and you will give it to me if I want it. And you also offered me a long lifespan, but not immortality. What you are offering me is a long lifespan, but not immortality. One day I have to die, he says. So I prefer, he said, realizing the self as more important than any kind of offer what you have made to me. Saying that, he goes away. So here there is something very interesting to understand here. Because only when you study Upanishads, you understand spiritual life properly. Otherwise, we are driven by the material world. Material life, so many things happen here, isn't it? So here you can see here that except, he said, except Brahma Vidya, knowledge of the self, you can ask anything from me, he says. Except Brahma Vidya or knowledge of the self, you can ask anything from me. If we were there in place of Nachiketas, what we would have said to Yama? We'll see what we can get out of him now. We'll get take it and come out from there, isn't it? We won't be interested in anything else. That is our nature. Whatever you can get it, that's fine. I feel at least Yama can give me this much. Okay, if he, immortality and self-realization, all Yama can keep. He can give us what we want in this life, little happiness here and there. We are satisfied with it. We are easily satisfied. In other words, very easily satisfied people we are. Like we mentioned, Ramayanam, Valmiki makes fun of us, isn't it? Valmiki makes fun of us. Valmiki says that when Bharata and the Ayodhya Vasis went to see Ramachandra, when they go to Bharadwaja Maharshi's ashram, Bharadwaja Maharshi is a rishi, isn't it, living in the forest. He arranged a big feast because of his yogic power. He could do that. Arranged a big feast and everybody enjoyed the feast and a place to sleep after that. What more do you want? And a group of people to gossip. These three things, a good prasadam, a place to sleep, and a good group of people to gossip. When these three things were there, they said, we don't want to go back to Ayodhya. We don't want to go and see Ramchandra also. He says to Bharata, you go and see and come back, and then we will see about that, he said. So you can see, this is the common nature in us. Common nature. This is the nature of the human species. Society is like that. As I mentioned before, that one devotee was saying that he heard Upanishads from some sannyasi. He heard at some point, he was hearing about that. He said he couldn't understand anything. But then he met the devotees, they offered him a plate of prasadam with puri, halwa, sweet rice and everything. He immediately switched. He says, they are all Mayavadis, useless. This is the perfect perfection I've got now, because I got a full plate of prasadam, he says. So this is how much our conviction on spiritual life is. So, yeah, but that didn't work with Nachiketas though. Nachiketas wouldn't be satisfied not even with a plate of prasadam, even with a higher happiness what was offered to him, that that he says that didn't work. I didn't. Brahma Vidya is not cheap. Brahma Vidya is not cheap. So, there's another interesting thing here. You will also notice this often. In material life, you work hard. You work hard. And it will take a long time to make some money in the material life. Isn't it? You have to work very hard for many, many years. Suddenly, one sannyasi comes. He has given up everything. And then he has started preaching or something. People come and give it to him. 100 acres of land or a few million pounds or something like that. And then that people are thinking, oh, he's amazing. This man is so advanced that people are coming and giving him all the wealth like this. Ramatirtha, Swami Ramatirtha used to tell us a very nice story about this whole thing. About collecting money and the way donations are given and things like that. People misunderstand because ordinary people do not understand the subtlety of all these things. They just see from outside everything. Lot of money is coming. And Ramatirtha used to say this, people, you work whole lifetime, you may struggle hard and try to save up some money. How much will you save up? An ordinary person in his working life, how much can he save up? And you will see that after 30, 40 years of work, you may make 100,000 pounds or 200,000 pounds, whatever it is, cash you have. But then suddenly you change all your clothes, become a sannyasi and danda, you start preaching. People come and tell you, oh, I want to give you, Maharaj, this. We want to offer you this for your... This is daily experience in spiritual life with so many people. People will come and offer you ashrams. People will come and offer you money. They'll come and offer you gold and so many things. It all happens like this. How do we understand this principle? This is a very interesting thing in spiritual life. Only if you understand spiritual life properly, you will see the brutality of the whole thing. What it is there? So sannyasi comes and asks. If you go and ask him for something, he will not give it to you. But sannyasi goes and asks, he says, oh, you can have 50 acres or 100 acres of land if you want to build an ashram or a temple like that. And we think, oh, it's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing that a person is so capable. And the explanation to that is like this, that why it is happens like this. Ramadhartha story. One princess was there to be marriageable age, and she was to get married, but it was very difficult to win her. She was very good in riding the horses, very expert in riding the horses. So you have to fight with her while riding the horses and win the battle. And she was very difficult to win her. She was so good in horse riding and in battle. No, many, many people found it very difficult to fight and win her. It was impossible. Ramadhartha says this. It was impossible to do that. So everybody was looking for a way how to win her, because she was so good in horse riding that it was impossible to fight with her in the circumstances. So one person, he went to a forest and he met one rishi there. And he's talking to this rishi sage about this thing. So rishi says to him, that girl or the princess has got only one weakness. There's only one weakness. What's that weakness? Gold. Gold. She loves gold. She loves gold. So what you do is that when she comes on the horse, you throw a lot of gold coins and gold bars and gold biscuits, everything on the way. You throw it on the way. And also golden chains and necklaces, because she is very much attracted to that. And she will stop the horse and start collecting all of that. She won't be able to fight because her whole attention will be on the gold. So, and he says, she will collect all that and put it on the horse. And if it's all on the horse, the weight of the horse, because of the weight of the gold, will slow down the horse. It won't be able to go at the same speed as she was able to fight without anything on the horse. So do that. The rishi gave this advice to this person who came to ask for his advice. So in the similar way, according to the weight, when you get very, very heavy, that the speed will go down, isn't it? The horse won't be able to arrive at the same speed, and you will be able to win the battle. You'll be able to win the battle. Similarly, Ramadhartha Swami says there, in spiritual life also, when you start the spiritual life, Krishna will come and put all this kind of gold on the way. And these offers which comes like this, we are thinking we are winning spiritually, but Krishna is actually making a fool of us with all these things. He'll put all these things on the way and he'll increase our weight. That means you won't go faster enough in spiritual life. Rather, you'll be pulled back by the weight of all these things, what comes on the way. And the traveling will become slow. So, this is the process. So, in other words, if we have any sankalpam inside, you can see this practically if you look into the spiritual world today. In your mind, you may have so many desires and so many impressions or sankalpam in there. According to the sankalpam, things happening. Money will be coming from, fame will come, followers will come, so many things will come from so many places, and it will drag you back in your self-realization. It won't happen except self-realization. Everything else will happen in the world. That is how subtle the whole attachment to the world is. If attachment to the world is very, very strong, because you may not have even thought about that in this life, but even in your previous life, if you have created any sankalpam inside, that sankalpam will come through in this spiritual life when you get into it. So, in other words, all the sankalpam inside us will fructify in the spiritual life. All sankalpam inside will fructify in this spiritual life. You cannot blame anybody for that, because as we get closer to the Chit-Shakti, as we get closer to Chit-Shakti, when you get closer to the center, the circumferential force, what they call it, the scientists calculated like the force on the circumference also gets stronger. Those who have studied mathematics, they will know this. That suppose there is an object here and something is rotating around in a circle centered around this object. As you go closer to this, the periphery from this force based on the distance from the center, the force will be powerful. And that is what they are saying here, that when we get circumferential power will be very high. And when you get closer to the heart, the hridistham, as you say, the hrid center, then whatever very sukshma means extremely subtle, whatever sangalpam we have inside, that will start coming out. Initially, all the gross sangalpam comes out. But later on, all the subtle ones starts coming out. There is so many sangalpam inside. Everybody has that. In different ways, we have accumulated and put it there. We may not even be conscious of that, talking about it. But it's there inside. So in the spiritual life, all these sangalpam, different things we have created inside us will start manifesting. First the gross ones will come and then the subtle ones will start coming out. So particularly for Brahmanishtha, particularly for self-realization, this law apply. So even though in this lifetime, maybe that person is studying Shastram very well and is very fixed in spiritual life. So even in this life, he may not have created any vasana inside. He may not have created any sangalpam inside in this lifetime. Even though from previous lifetimes, whatever he has created will start coming out. That person may have gone into spiritual life from the early days in life here in this lifetime. And he may be doing things in the right way in this world. But if he has sangalpam inside, that will all come out in this lifetime. That will also come out in this lifetime. Purva sangalpam, that's all purva sangalpam. That, and it will come out in some form at some time. It has to happen. That is the law. This is Swami Ramatirtha's confirmed. He was a great personality. Swami Ramatirtha, he says this, that it has to come out from him. He was not like that. That is the interesting thing. Nothing could allure him. Nothing could. He was not carried away by any of these influences of this world. He was a great personality. So he says that this can happen to people, which you can see in the world always it happens, isn't it? How many people gets, once the money comes and followers comes and fame comes, and then they go after that. That becomes a priority then. Anymore realizing the self is not anymore priority. That goes away from them. So, so this incident has happened with many places, many, many personalities this has happened. One sannyasi said that he had a plan to do so many things. So someone asked him, where are you going to get the money for all these things? He says, it will come from the sky, he said. He was so sure about that. It will come from the sky. It will pour down from the heavens, he says. It will pour down from the heavens. Why? Because he knows very well that if there is a sangalpam is strong, it will fructify at the end. It has to fructify. That was his firm opinion about that. So, whatever sangalpam we have, that is why Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita all these things, isn't it? About sangalpam, he says in one word somewhere, I don't know which chapter it is, he says, sangalpam, sangalpa prabhavan kaman, he says. I don't know which chapter it is. Sangalpam. In the 18th chapter, I think somewhere he mentioned about sangalpam. He says, if you have created any sangalpam inside, it has to be fructified. It has to fructified. So what will happen is, in your karmi life, suppose you worked in this world 40-50 years, and you will only get the results based on your prarabdham at that time. But you have stopped karma totally, but you have come to sannyasam, say for example, you have taken to sannyasam. Karmam is not there anymore. You have stopped. Fruitive activity you have stopped. But you have created a lot of sangalpam inside. It is they, because of the sangalpam inside, that is why when they come to sannyasam, they will get everything much faster than when you are a karmi. సంకల్ప ప్రభో అండ్ కామ 624. దేర్ ఆర్ ఫ్యూ ప్లేసెస్ కృష్ణ టాక్స్ అబౌట్ దిస్ సంకల్పం అండ్ కామం, హౌ దిస్ వర్క్స్. అండ్ వెన్ యూ సీ దిస్ ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్ యువర్ సెల్ఫ్, యూ క్యాన్ నోటీస్ ఇట్. దెన్ కృష్ణ సేస్ హియర్ నౌ 624. సంకల్ప ప్రభవాన్ స నిశ్చయేన యోక్తవ్యో యోగో అనిర్విన్న చేతసాః. సంకల్ప ప్రభవాన్ కామాం త్యక్త్వా సర్వానశేషదా మనసైవ ఇంద్రియగ్రామం వినియమ్య శమంతదాం. వన్ షుడ్ ఎంగేజ్ వన్ సెల్ఫ్ ఇన్ ద ప్రాక్టీస్ ఆఫ్ యోగా విత్ అన్డివియేటింగ్ డిటర్మినేషన్ ఫెయిత్. వన్ షుడ్ అబాండన్ వితౌట్ ఎక్సెప్షన్ ఆల్ మెటీరియల్ డిజైర్స్ బోర్న్ ఆఫ్ ఫాల్స్ ఈగో అండ్ దస్ కంట్రోల్ ఆల్ ద సెన్సెస్ ఆన్ ఆల్ సైడ్స్ బై ద మైండ్. ఆన్ ఆల్ సైడ్స్ బై ది మైండ్. సంకల్ప ప్రభవాన్ కామాన్. సంకల్పం మీన్స్ వాట్ యూ హ్యావ్ డిజైర్డ్ ఇన్ సైడ్. వాట్ ఎవర్ డిజైర్ యూ హ్యావ్ క్రియేటెడ్. యూ మే నాట్ హ్యావ్ క్రియేటెడ్ ఎనీ డిజైర్ ఇన్ దిస్ లైఫ్. You suppose due to your good fortune that you had that realization not to create desires, in this life it may not be there. But in previous life if you have created, it may be lying inside in a very subtle form and that will come out. And once that comes out, that is where Krishna comes and fulfills those desires one after the other. He'll give you money, he will give you land, he will give you properties and all. And what ordinary people think, oh, he's so spiritually advanced. That's why everything is coming, he says. People think completely in an opposite way. Generally, this is people's misunderstanding. I'm saying that they'll see, oh, such a great Maharaj, he has built so many ashrams, temples, and so much money is coming to this temple. He must be a great devotee or a jnani. Actually, all his desires inside, Krishna is pouring to him, pouring into his lap. And that is what is happening. That's what the story is all about. So, here you can see that it will happen. All sankalpam, what you have, Krishna will come and put it in front of you. What will happen because of that? It will slow down your spiritual life. That's all. That's all what will do. Nothing else will happen. When all these things come, it slows down your spiritual life. The outside people, everybody will say everything is wonderful, fantastic, big temple, ashrams, facilities, good prasadam, and everything, good satsangam, they will say. So many things they will say. But at the end, it will slow down the whole self-realization process. That's all. So, whether we have such a sankalpam inside or not, you can see this when you see the objects in the world. There's an interesting story about Socrates about this. Socrates used to go every day to the market, to the bazaar. He used to go there. And he will go in front of the grocery shops and stand there and look at them, what all they have got to sell. Then he'll go to the vegetable market. You look at them also. You won't buy anything, either from the grocery shop or from the vegetable shops. Then he will go to the cloth merchant. In their shops, he will stand there and look at all the clothes. And then he will go to the gold merchant. He will stand there and look at them, what business is going on there. He'll look at all of them and he'll go home. Every day, he used to do that, it seems. He used to do this very, very often. He used to go and do this. So somebody asked him, every day you are going for shopping, but you don't seem to buy anything. You are just going and coming back, he says. So they asked him, and he says, his reply was, I've just gone there to see if everybody is okay in the market, in the shops, everybody is okay. So as far as he is concerned, this life itself is a shopping center, he says. What all happens here, he says, some people are selling and some people are buying. That's all what it is. And both those who are selling is under tension and those who are buying is also under tension. Both of them are under tension, he says. Both of them are tension. So, because those who are selling, their tension is, oh, we have to sell so many things, isn't it? That tension will be there in them. And for those who are buying, they have the tension that I have to get it profitable, I don't get cheated, I get it at the right price and things like that, isn't it? So both of them have the tension. And you can also see in the market some others who is just wandering around without any tension. They'll be wandering around. And like what they call as window shopping, is it? Something like that. They'll be just wandering around. They won't buy anything. They look at things and go away. And they won't buy anything. So that's also there. So, here you can see that people's nature, that some people have tension of buying, some people have tension of selling. Spiritually, realization means you have nothing to sell and nothing to buy either from this world. So such people, they don't have any attachment or connection with anything. So the same thing here you can see in front of Nachiketas, Yama put forth all this offer, isn't it? All the happiness of this world and all the happiness of the heavenly world, everything Nachiketas has put forward in front of him. You see that word in the 25th verse, he says, Shadayusha putra pautran vrinishwa bahun pashun hasti hiranyamashwan bhumer mahadayadanam vrinishwa soyam jajiva sharado yavadichasi. Shadayusha, hundreds of years of life. Putra pautran vrinishwa, children, grandchildren, all of them. Bahun pashun hasti hiranyamashwan, plenty of cows, elephants, horses, everything. Bhumir Mahad, plenty of wealth also. Mahada Adhanam Vrinishwa, Adhanam Vrinishwa. And you can have plenty of land in this earthly planet. Swayamja Jiva Sharado Yavadichasi. And on your own, how long you want to live, that much you can live in this world. That long you can live here in this world. As much as you like that, an offer from Yama. Offer from Yama. You can see that proper, when a person is in a proper understanding of spiritual life, he will not be tempted by any of these things, any of these offers. Because Nachiketa still knows very well that unless I realize the self, there is no proper escape from here. No matter what on offer here in this world, this body one day will go. It has to go. It cannot remain like this forever. And therefore, he thinks, he realizes that very firmly inside, that unless I realize the self, there is no escape from this misery. So that is why it mentions there, Swayamja Jiva Sharado Yavadichasi, that if you want Sharado Yavadichasi, even if you want to live for hundreds and thousands of years, you can live here, and plenty of elephants, horses, and things like that, all of them are being offered to him. And children, grandchildren, everything. many of us will think, why can't Yama come in front of us and make an offer? So you'll see there, Adidirge, he says that in the verse. Yeah. In other words, later on in 28th verse he says, Ajiryadam Amrudanam Upetya Jiryan Martyaha Kodhasta Prajanan. Verse 28. Abhidhyayan Varnaradi Pramodan Adidirge Jivide Ko Rameda. Nachiketa says, Adidirge Jivide Ko Rameda. What is the point in getting a very long span of life? He says. And Abhidhyayan Varnaradi Pramodan Adidirge Jivide Ko Rameda. So he says, all of these things will leave me one day. One day it has to go. Now you have to remember here, Nachiketas is very intelligent. When happiness is in the association of people also, isn't it? Yamadharmaraja is offering this happiness to Nachiketas. He has not offered that to all the Apsaras women who are coming from there. So even though Nachiketas may live long, they will go one day. They will go one day. They are not being offered. Only Nachiketas has been offered a long span of life. Najira started realizing all the so-called happiness is in the association of others. Otherwise, how can you? Lot of gold, lot of property, but you are alone. What will you do with it? With all the wealth. So, unless you have an association of other people, what we call company, isn't it? Where is the happiness in it? With all this wealth and so, but Yamadharmaraja is not offering to any of them those things. He is offering to Najigedas these things. Plenty of wealth, plenty of gold, plenty of chariots, elephants, horses, everything. They will all go one day on its own, but you can have a long life, he says. They will go and somebody else may come, that's another thing. But Najigedas is realizing, overall he says this material happiness is not a happiness. Whereas the happiness coming from the soul, alone, within oneself, enjoying, is that pure happiness or the anandam of the soul is more valuable than any other happiness that's available in this world. So that's why he mentions like this, that sarvendriyanam jarayandi. In the earlier verse you will see sarvendriyanam, he mentions there, isn't it? In the 26th verse, shobhavo martyasyadanda kaidal sarvendriyanam jarayandi tejaham abhisarvam jividam alpameva tavaiva vahastava nrityagite. Najigedas says to Yama that sarvendriyanam jarayandi tejaha. All senses also will become weaker one day, and abhisarvam jividam alpameva. And even if you say to me that I'll give you a very long span of life, how long? That question is also there. That atavaiva vahastava nrityagite. So you can keep all your singing, dancing, everything to yourself, he says. Because over a period of time, under the influence of time, all of this will go. All of this will go. Therefore, I am interested in only that one thing, he says. That thing which I will never lose. Which I will never lose. Nitya vastu, permanent thing. And give me that understanding. And it is only after all these discussions, Yamadharma Raja decided to instruct Najigedas after that only. Only after that he decided to instruct. So, and then Najigedas asked the question, Yamadharma Raja talks to him about it. So, important thing is, only if you are like that, that determination and obstinate about this, only to them the knowledge of the self should be spoken. This is the principle. And such people, when it's spoken, it will have its effect immediately. That was the system in the past. That was the system in the past. And after saying that, he explains to him, Yamadharma Raja in the next few chapters, he explains in Kathopanishad the knowledge of the self to him. After ascertaining that he is qualified for the fall, hearing about that. And if you get there, Krishna is saying here, parastasmastu bhavanyo. Avyakta avyakta sanatana yasa sarveshu bhudeshu nashyetsu na vinashyati. Once you reach that state, nashyetsu na vinashyati, there is no destruction after that, he says to him. And and all other satyam is going to leave one day. All those other satyams, means body, mind, intelligence, ego, everything, that's all going to go. But inside this, there is one satyam which never leaves, which is that awareness inside, that one has to see oneself. And if you have not seen that inside, realize that truth, awareness inside, he is not going to go outside, he is not going to become aware of that outside. It is easy to say, oh, we should see Krishna everywhere. If you have not seen Krishna inside, within oneself, there is no question of seeing Krishna in others. That is the principle. First thing, we have to realize Krishna inside us. After that, you will realize Krishna in everybody else. That is the sequence it happens. Now, sometimes people say, oh, we have to see Krishna everywhere, because it says in the Bhagavatam like that. It won't happen that way. First, you have to see Krishna within, Andaryami inside. After realizing that, you will see Krishna outside. Only if you see inside, you will recognize him outside. Otherwise, you won't recognize him outside. So, seeing oneself inside is called Aksharajnanam. This chapter is all about that Aksharajnanam. Akshara Brahma Yogam, it says there, isn't it? Knowledge of the Aksharam. Aksharam. That means, Aksharam means that vastu which does not have any destruction inside. Krishna is the only thing inside which has no destruction, isn't it? This Krishna inside is the only vastu that has no destruction. Akshara vastu. Till we realize this akshara vastu, you will not realize Krishna's presence anywhere else outside. That is the main thing in this chapter, Akshara Brahma Yogam. That is the most important thing to remember. That's why this chapter is called Akshara Brahma Yogam. Only for this reason. That till we realize Akshara Vastu inside, Antaryami inside, Krishna's presence inside, all other realization outside has no meaning. We can talk about it, but it won't happen. Even in the case of a first class devotee, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you remember, Sarva Bhudeshu Yappashyet Bhagaval Bhavam Alpana Bhudani Bhagavatyesha Savai Bhagavadottama. First class devotee, Paramahamsa stage, mentions like this, Sarva Bhudeshu Yappashyet Bhagavad Bhavam Alpana Bhagavad Bhudani Bhagavatyesha Savai Bhagavadottama. There again, Sarva Bhudeshu, that is a very later stage which happens. Bhagavad Bhavam, in everyone living entity, presence of Krishna there. That happens much later. Prior to that, realizing the self within. After that, we can talk about all the other things because this will be followed by the other. That is the principle. That is the principle. That is why self-realization is so important. It is no point in saying, suppose somebody gives you a lot of instructions, all these things. We read Bhagavad Gita and we pick up things here and there, so many things. Krishna is saying there in the second or third chapter, he says, isn't it? That Vidya, Vinaya, Sambhane, Brahmane, Gavihastini, Shunijaiva, Shubhageja, Pandita, Samadarshina. After read, what do we say, understand by that? Krishna is saying in that verse that a qualified Brahmana person, he will see in the elephant, Brahmana, elephant, Gavihastini, or horse, or the cow, everywhere, Shuni and the dog, dog eater, everything, you should see him equally. Now, after reading that verse, people started looking in everything, dog eaters and the elephants, everything. But I'm not seeing anything equal. They're not equal. They're all different, aren't they? So once you see, and then you start thinking, why is Krishna saying this? So there is a system to follow. The system is, first realize the self, and these things will happen later. This is for a later period that has to happen. Shunijaiva Shubhageja Pandita Samadarshina. That Samadarshitvam, equal vision, that comes later. First, that vision inside, Krishna's presence inside, Antaryami realization first. After that, other things will follow. That is the principle behind it. So that Akshara Jnanam, Akshara Vastu, Antaryami inside, to how to know him, that is the next verse. 21
Avyaktoksharamityuktas Tamahu paramam gadim yam prapyanani vartante taddhama paramam mama avyaktoksharam ityukta tamahu paramam gadim yam prapyanani vartante taddhama paramam mama Avyaktam aksharam idi ukta tam ahu paramam gadim yam prapya nivartande tad dhama paramam mama. Krishna says, that supreme abode is called unmanifested and infallible. And it is the supreme destination. When one goes there, he never comes back. That is my supreme abode. That's my supreme abode. So, avyaktokshara mityukta tamahu paramam gadim yam prapya na nivartande taddhama paramam mama. Here, you can see, avyaktam means what? Avyaktam, avyakta akshara mityukta, Krishna is saying. Avyaktam akshara mityukta, it's called aksharam. Avyaktam is called aksharam.
Avyaktam is aksharam. We remember this, from avyaktam came vyaktam. We, the personalities came from avyaktam. Is it not? All awarenesses also come from avyaktam. So avyaktam aksharam ityukta. From avyaktam came this aksharam. Avyaktam is aksharam. Avyaktam is the aksharam. So what does it mean? Avyaktam means which is not. How you have to understand, the best way to explain this avyaktam is what is not possible to perceive by senses. What that is not possible to perceive by senses. In other words, by whose presence eyes are able to see, that's the other way it is. Everything normally we perceive by the senses, is it not? We perceive everything through senses. But here, the opposite way it is. By whose presence eyes are able to see, the nose is able to smell, the ear is able to hear, the tongue is able to taste, the skin is able to touch and feel. By whose presence? That is avyaktam. Avyaktam aksharam ityukta, Krishna says there, avyaktoksharam ityuktas tamahu paramam gadim. That is this difference between avyaktam and this us. We first of all, it is not indriya gocharam. Indriya gocharam means by senses you can't know that. Everything else you can know by the senses. Senses can, eyes can see, ears can hear, nose can smell, tongue can taste, and skin can touch and feel the sensation. Is it not? So all these sensual activities won't help in knowing him. On the other hand, all the senses are functioning because of that avyaktam behind. Avyaktam aksharam. Therefore, he is called aksharam. Because he is avyaktam, he is aksharam. Avyaktoksharam ityuktar tamahu paramam gadim yam prapyan nivartande taddhama paramam mama. Krishna is saying there. But by whose presence you are able to smell, by whose presence, you have to see both ways. By whose presence you are able to see, but who you cannot see with the eyes. Upanishad's way of mentioning it is like that. By whose presence you are able to see, but who cannot be seen by your eyes. By whose presence you are able to hear, but who cannot be heard by your ears. By whose presence you are able to smell, but who cannot be smelled by the nose. By whose presence you are able to taste, but who cannot be tasted by your tongue. By whose presence you are able to feel the touch sensation, but who cannot be felt or touched by your senses, by your skin. That is how in both ways we have to make it very, very clear. Avyakta akshara ityukta. That is how Krishna is saying there. Avyaktam aksharam ityukta. Because it is beyond senses. In other words, senses cannot. That is why when we come to spiritual life, we just have to leave them behind. All mind, intelligence, senses, everything. They are completely on a different level. We are talking about it. So far. So that is what is called avyaktam here. And so, in other words, avyaktam, avyaktam. And vyaktam is the manifested one. Vyaktam is the manifested one. And what is not vyaktam is avyaktam. Vyaktam comes from avyaktam. Avyaktam doesn't come from vyaktam. That's very clear. Is it not? Avyaktam cannot come from vyaktam. Vyaktam will come from avyaktam always. Vyaktam will come from avyaktam. And that avyaktam is called aksharam. These words, there is no other way to present it. But I'm sure when you keep using the same word, you will get inside. You will get to understand that. So, avyaktam generally translated as unmanifested. So, that is called aksharam. In other words, in all of us, who is present inside as awareness, bodham, avabodham inside, that awareness, aksharam ityuktaha. Krishna says, that avyaktam, it is called aksharam ityuktaha. Avyaktoksharam ityukta, Krishna says in the first line, isn't it? And tamahu paramam gadim. Tamahu paramam gadim. So here, avyaktoksharam ityukta tamahu paramam gadim. And that is the ultimate destination.
So Bhagavad Gita only takes us up to that point to tell us our ultimate destination is that self-realization, nothing more than that. Everything else based on the Purana, we will talk about so many things, Vaikuntham, Kailasam, Golokam, many other things. That is also a state of realization inside. We should not think too much about their physical presence, how far they are away from here, and how many years you have to travel to get there, and what's all happening there. This is the common man's mind goes in that direction, is it not? We always think like that when we are told about. And then if you look into other scriptures, others also present in another ways, different ways. Some people say there's a heavenly world where we have a lot of facilities to enjoy. Different ways, conceptions in different religious processes. That doesn't matter. But Krishna is saying to us, avyaktam acharam ityukta tam ahu paramam gadim. That is the supreme destination, he says. Paramam gadi. That is the supreme destination. Tamahu paramam gadim. If you reach that state of consciousness, yad gatvana nivartande taddhama paramam mama. That is my supreme abode. Where you reach, you don't come back from there. You stay in that state. That is self-realization. Realizing the self. There is nothing more to it than that. So you can see here, parastasmastu. Now that verse where he mentions here that the tamahu paramam gadim. Acharam, tamahu paramam gadim. Tamahu paramam gadim. that tamahu avyaktosham tamahu paramam gadim. So he see that yes, so avyaktaha aksharaha idi uktaha tam evam akshara aksamyagam avyaktam bhavam ahu paramam prakrishtam gadim. Yam bhavam prapya gatva na nivartande samsaraya taddham sthanam paramam prakrishtam mama vishnu paramam padam ityartaha. The same thing in the Upanishads will say like this, tad vishnu paramam padam tada pashyanti suryayo. Upanishad words is also like the similar way. That abode, when we say abode, we start normally bringing the concept into us. Abode means somewhere physically where we can go and occupy that abode. That's how we generally take, because we are in the bodily concept. So therefore, everything has to be based on the bodily concept. We are thinking that somewhere we can go with this body and enter into another apartment there and live there comfortably. But when it comes to spiritual side, if you look into this verse, Krishna is saying here, that vyakto avyaktan parastas avyaktam aksharam ityukta, that verse 21, tam ahu paramam gadim. Ultimate destination is avyaktam aksharam. That is what it is. Avyaktam it is, aksharam it is. Ityukta, it's called ityukta, tam ahu paramam gadim. That is a supreme destination. What is there? Yam prapya, once you have got there, na nivartande taddhama paramam mama. If you have got there is no question of coming back from there. That is my ultimate abode. That's where you get there finally. So this discussion about we were in the spiritual world once and then we became envious and all that kind of things, what we say normally, that sometimes this causes difficulties people to explain that. Why did we get, if I was in the spiritual world, why did I get envious of Krishna then? That question will also come, it's a genuine question, isn't it? You have to need an answer for that. That I don't need to get envious of Krishna if I was in the spiritual world and if all these things what's mentioned. But that is, in the Puranam conception is like that. It's nothing wrong in there saying that. But Upanishad's conception is like this. That's what I'm saying. Puranic conception is in that way. Upanishad's conceptions are like this. There's a big difference there. In Upanishad's conception, it says here, avyakto aksharam ityukta tamahu paramam gadim. You have reached the supreme destination. Realize the self. Tamahu paramam. You understood where you are. You got your real identity back. Tamahu paramam gadim. You have got back into your state of realization. Yam prapya na nivartande. Once you have reached there, don't fall from there again. Taddhama paramama. That is my supreme abode. Krishna mentions there. In the Bhagavad Gita, that is how far Krishna spoke about the final destination. So here, the nature of that destination, what is spoken here, avyaktam, 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 anashwaram, And that is the ashram means eternal, and that is the highest goal Krishna is talking about. And if you got there, then you don't come back to material existence anymore. That means you won't get another material body once again. That is the guarantee what we need more than anything else. We are thinking that, oh, what is there to enjoy when we get there? But more than that, important thing is how to avoid another material body again. Is it not? If you have suffered enough in this material body, you will know that. You will think in that way. But if you are not satisfied in this material body, you will still think, let me have another body somewhere else to enjoy. Krishna's point is that yam prapyam nivartante taddhama paramam mama. He says here, once you got there, then you don't come back to this material existence again. That means another material body, birth, death, old age and disease, these things won't happen again. So, and that is how superior that place is, that abode is. Krishna says, here, in the Upanishads, when they say, yam prapan nivartande taddhama paramama, they put it in another way, tada pashyandi suryayo, that padam, Vishnor padam, yada pashyandi suryayo, you will see that in the, sada pashyandi suryayo, paramam padam, Vishnor paramam padam. That Vishnu, what is mentioned there, is not the Vishnu of the Puranam. That also you have to know. Puranam Vishnu is, see, the same truth when it is spoken in Upanishads, when it's spoken in Puranam, and when it's spoken in Vedam, they have three different meanings. Three different meanings. In Puranam, it is addressed as Krishna. In Vedam, it is referred as Vishnu. In Upanishads, it's referred as Narayana. It's one and the same truth. People will call with different names. The Vishnu of Vedam is Krishna in the Puranam and Narayana in the Upanishads. So titles, various names may be used, but Vastu is the same. Vastu is the same. That's how. So this Vishnu, Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam Sada Pashyandi Suryayo. That Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam. Immediately, people who are in the Puranic concept, they will interpret it in the form saying that, oh, that is an abode in the form of Vaikuntham or Golokam or another different spiritual planets, what is spoken in people understand by different names, isn't it? It's a different concept altogether. But that is from the bhakti point of view, all those concepts are acceptable. But from the Jnanamargam, from the Jnanam point of view, the only acceptance is this far. Paramam padam yad aksharam ityukta tamahu paramam gadim. The parama, ultimate destination is yam prapyana nivartande taddhama paramam mama. That you got there, you don't come back. What is going on there is not what is discussed. You get there, you don't come back and get another material body. That is the final destination. If you don't have to come back and get another material body, you have reached the destination. That is the important point. Very important it is in the Bhagavad Gita. If you study Bhagavad Gita in the proper way, a lot of illusions from our head, misunderstanding about self-realization will go away. Self-realization is realizing the truth is more important than anything else. Yam prapyana nivartande taddhama paramam mama. So if you follow the root of the Upanishads are saying to us that paramam prakrishtam mama Vishnu paramam padam ityartaha. Ayari Swamiji mentions that very specifically in the commentary. He says there that after reaching that destination, if you don't come back, if you are coming back, means you are not reached the destination. Once you have got there, there's no question of coming back again. There's no. Here, we have got into this situation due to avidya inside, ajnanam inside, karma mandalam, whatever. And how did this all start from the very beginning? If you ask that question, the answer in the Vedantam is, please don't ask that question, it has no meaning now. You are in this troubled situation. To escape from here, when you get sick, very seriously ill, it is no point in analyzing, how did I get this? You have to be treated first and get cured from the illness. That's their point about that, because there is no answer to that question at this point in time. So, tal labdhe upaya muchyate prakrishtam mama Vishnu paramambadam ityartaha. And in the, you will see here that after this, he mentions the prakrishtam kridim. In other words, everybody, without knowing about themselves, knowingly or unknowingly, prakrishtam, mam prakrishtam gadim.
avyaktoksharam ityukta tam ahu paramam gadim, that paramam gadim. If you reach, and then you don't get another birth again, tam ahu paramam gadim. What is the importance of that? In that state, there is no coming and going. Coming and going is not going to happen there. And in that place, only perfection. There is perfection there. In other words, at that point, your personal ego, ahankaram inside, gets completely dissolved. Completely dissolved. Personal ego completely dissolved. That's why Krishna says there, tamahu paramam gadim yam prapya nivartande. And once you have got there, na nivartande. You don't fall back again, never come back, comes back again. Where will you not come back? That's another question. The answer is, here you know when you come back, the boredom of this place will start from the nursery school and kindergarten. It starts the whole thing here again, is it not? It starts. And so Krishna's, that supreme abode, that is also within us to realize. Once we realize it, within us inside. If Krishna is there, the abode also must be there inside us. Is it not? If Krishna is present inside us, Antaryami, that abode is also inside us. Krishna's abode, what Krishna is talking about, is also there inside us. Tandhama paramam mama. And that's it. And it is within us. So that if it's not, this is what I was telling before, till you come out of time and space, you won't understand these verses. Normally, how will our thoughts will go first? When Krishna says, Tadhama Paramama, oh, how far is it from here? This will be the first question. Where is it? That means space has taken over us. Is it not? Space has taken over. So, till you come out of time and space, all these verses is very difficult to understand. We start thinking, normally, because in a very subtle level, time and space is always operating within us. We'll always think in terms of time and space, in a very subtle level. You may not even think about it. As soon as somebody says, oh, what time is it? You'll say, look at the watch. Is it not? Similarly, space also. So, till you come out of time and space, these verses won't make any sense. But at least on an intellectual level, if you think about it, you can understand it. That's what it means. That till you, once you are freed from space, then you will know that you don't have to travel billions of miles to get to that dhamam, what we are talking about. If Krishna is present inside, is it not a logical thing to ask? His abode also must be there. His abode also has to be there. So it is a question of realization rather than traveling millions of miles to get there. And that is why all the offer of after death going back and all that is a very questionable thing. If it has to happen, it has to happen now. In this very body itself, before anything, all everywhere, if you look into Srimad Bhagavatam, in many places, that is how it is spoken about self-realization. Muktitek tanyadharubam sarubena vivastiti. Sosarubanu anusandhanam bhaktiri tabhidiyate. Bhagavatam says in so many places like that. That sosarubam. That means your own swarupam, your own identity, anusandhanam. If you are pursuing that is the destination finally you have to get. Bhaktiri tabhidiyade. Mukti tektu anyadharupam swarupena vyavasthiti. Another stage in the Bhagavatam. Mukti means, liberation means, tektua anyadharupam. Anyadharupam means all the upadhinas. Upadhi means body, mind, intelligence, ego. If all of those things leaves us, then you are in your swarupena vyavasthiti, in your swarupam, in your own identity. So, and you don't have to go anywhere for that. Nowhere you have to go. Ta nivartande, na nivartande, tadhama paramam mama, says here. Samsaraya, so, yam prapya gatvan samsaraya tadhamam, sthanam paramam prakrishtam mama Vishnu paramam padam. Vishnu paramam padam is inside, where Antaryami is present there itself it has to happen. So Vedam also says the same thing. And you also see rishis, the way they put it in the Upanishad is sada pashyanti suryayo. Rishis are always seeing that. సదా పశ్యంతి సూర్యయో. సూర్యయో మీన్స్ వాట్? రిషి, సేజెస్. దే ఆర్ ఆల్వేస్ సేయింగ్ దాట్ సూరి. సూరి మీన్స్ రియలైజ్డ్ సోల్స్. ఇన్ ద భాగవతం ఆల్సో యూ విల్ సీ దిస్. జన్మాద్యస్య యదోన్వయాదితరదశ్చార్తేషు అభిజ్ఞస్వరాన్ తేనే బ్రహ్మహృదయ ఆదిగవయే ముహ్యంతి యత్ సూరయ. దట్ సూరి. సూరి మీన్స్ దోస్ హూ ఆర్ రియలైజ్డ్. దే ఆర్ ఆల్వేస్ ఇన్ దాట్ స్టేట్, ఆల్వేస్ సీయింగ్ దాట్. దే ఆర్ నాట్ సీయింగ్ గోలోకం ఆర్ వైకుంఠం ఫ్రమ్ హియర్ through the eyes. That's not how they are seeing. They are seeing that abode all the time inside. That da pashyanti suryayo. They are always seeing that from inside that. Not with the eyes, but in realization they are seeing that. So that is what that about. So da pashyanti suryayo. And so the word Vaikuntham, when it is referred to, that means there is no kundhidam. That means there is no anxiety. There is no anxiety there. In other words, where there is no duality. That's what it is. So the name Vaikuntham is that basically coming from that. That Vaikuntham is within us. That realization has to happen inside. So you can see this in the Bhagavatam, how it comes through Puranam in a different way. How it is presented to us to make us understand that subtlety of that. Hiranyakashipu is asking Prahlada, where is your strength? Where is your strength coming from? Prahlada says, it is not my strength, he says. Balam me Vaikuntha. Do you think that Prahlada was referring to the Vaikuntham in the from the heavenly planets? No. Balam me Vaikuntha. The Vaikuntham inside me. That's what he's saying. So everyone's strength in this world, it is in the Bhagavatam. Prahlada is answering Hiranyakashipu. He is saying here, Balam me Vaikuntha. That whole creation is of that Vaikuntham. Krishna's creation this is, isn't it? And the strength where this creation is all receiving the strength is from that Vaikuntham, from Krishna. And it is the same source that is giving me also the strength to speak to you like this. Because Hiranyakashipu was asking the question, where do you get this strength to talk to me in this way? So Prahlada's answer, if you read, you can see he's talking about that strength coming from Vaikuntham. That Vaikuntham is from this realized state where it's coming from. From that realization, from Antaryami, in the Vaikuntham inside, the reply is coming. Balam me Vaikuntha. And he says to Hiranyakashipu, you also are getting the strength from the same Vaikuntham. Only thing is, you are not aware of that. I am aware of it. That's the only difference. Hiranyakashipu also was very strong, wasn't he? He had such a strength to perform thousands of years of penances. Where did that strength come from? Balam me Vaikuntha. It's also coming from the same source. He got it. But what was the problem was that he didn't have the knowledge to recognize that the source is Krishna, Antaryami inside. He didn't know that. He didn't know that. So that is why Krishna is saying here, once you got there in that self-realization, then there is no more birth after that. Taddhama paramam mama, Krishna is saying here. And he also says here, and I am situated in everybody's heart. Is it not? In the Bhagavad Gita, what does Krishna say? Ishvara sarvabhudanam hriddeshe Arjuna tishtadi brahmayan sarvabhudani yantrarodhani mayaya. So that Ishvara, Krishna, who is present as Antaryami inside, he is addressed in the Bhagavad Gita as Purusha. Purusha, his name is Purusha. Purusha, the word, how the word has come Purusha is, Puram means the body. Puram means the body. And one who sleeping inside this body, one who sleeps inside this body, therefore the word has come Purusha. Purusha, Puram Shayanam Idi Purushaha. That is the explanation to that. Puram Shayanam Idi Purushaha. Krishna, who is sleeping inside the body, he is called Purusha. So, and that Purusha, how one can achieve, reach him? How can one reach him? That is the next verse. 22. Purusha sapara parthaam bhaktya labhyastu nanyayam yasyam dastani bhudani yena sarvamidam tadam. Purusha sapara parthaam
భక్త్యాలభ్యాస్త్వనన్యయాం యస్యాందస్తాని భూతాని యేన సర్వమిదం తదం. సో ఆఫ్టర్ సేయింగ్ పురుష, కృష్ణ ఇస్ సేయింగ్ పురుష స పరపార్థ భక్త్యా లభ్య స్వన్యయ యస్య అంతస్థాని భూతాని ఏనం సర్వం ఇదం తథం. దాట్ ఈస్ ది వే కృష్ణ పుట్స్ దాట్ టు అస్. హి సేస్ హౌ డు వి గెట్ దాట్ పురుష? భక్త్యా లభ్య స్వన్యయ. హౌ డు వి గెట్ దాట్ పురుష? కృష్ణ ఇస్ సేయింగ్ ఎవ్రీబడి హస్ గాట్ దాట్ పురుష. యు డోంట్ హ్యావ్ టు గెట్ ఇట్, ఇట్స్ ఆల్రెడీ దేర్ ఇన్ ఎవ్రీ వన్. దిస్ మిస్అండర్స్టాండింగ్ వీ హ్యావ్ టు గెట్ రిడ్ ఆఫ్ ఫ్రమ్ అవర్ హెడ్. That we have to get something, constantly we have lived like this. Bhavam, bhavam, the word has come from that, because we are only used to one thing, getting, to get from outside. That's the whole life we are running around to get something. So this getting business has to stop. There's nothing to get, it's already there. Purushasa Parapartha, and that is the only vastu what we already have. We have got it already. Is nothing new to get anymore. We have already got it. That is what he is saying. Nitya Siddham. Prahlada also mentioned that, isn't it, before. He said it is a Nitya Vastu. Siddhatvaliha Sarvada. If you remember that. We must not forget, because when it comes from personalities like Prahlada, it means something very important. Prahlada says to him, to who? He says, what did he say? What is that verse in the seventh canto? Where he says that Siddhatva Liha Sarvada. Let's look at Bhagavatam. That's a very important instruction in the Bhagavatam. In the seventh canto, you will see there. Prahlada is saying to his friends that is nothing new to come from anybody. It's already there, he said. Siddhatval iha sarvada. Almatval sarvabhudanam siddhatval iha sarvada. That is how Prahlada puts it, isn't it? Almatval sarvabhudanam siddhatval iha sarvada, he says. While talking about, yeah. 6th chapter, verse 19. Nahyachudam prenayato bahuayaso asuralmajaha almatval sarvabhudanam siddhatvaliha sarvadam. Nahyachudam prenayato. To please Krishna is not very difficult, he says. Why? Bahuayaso asuralmaja, O children of the demons, he's saying. It is not very ayasam, it's not very lot of endeavor, is not required. Why? Almatval sarvabhudanam is present in everybody as the soul of everyone. And what else? Siddhatvaliha sarvada. Everybody has got it. Nobody is exempted from that. Such an easy thing, Prahlada puts it to them. Almatval sarvabhudanam siddhatvaliha sarvada. If you remember that, then it is the same thing what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita, what Ishvara Sarvabhudanam Hridyeshi Arjuna Tishtadi. So something what we have got, only what has happened is we have not able to recognize it. There is no recognition inside us. We have not accepted it. That is the problem. We accept so many other things. Somebody else says, oh, you go to Golokam, Vaikuntham, everything, you'll accept that. But we won't accept this one. You can tell people that Krishna is present inside your heart. You will say, well, we'll have to see. This is us. This is our ajnanam avidya inside. That is where these verses comes to our help. Prahlada is telling us, Almatval sarvabhudanam siddhatval iha sarvada. We won't accept that. But we will talk about Golokam. We will discuss about Golokam. What happens there when we go there? What should I be doing there when I get... All these fantasies we will create in our head and enjoy with that fantasy. Fantasy we like. We don't like reality. This is the problem. If somebody says to you, Krishna is within the heart, Almatval sarvabhudanam siddhatval iha sarvada. Don't worry about going around looking for anywhere else. We will say, I'm not convinced on that. That's why scientists are still finding it difficult to come to terms with it, isn't it? They are all discussing, but they are not finding it easy to accept that he is inside. They will bring all other nonsensical logic behind it to tell us that, oh, somehow you have to give me a proof for that, they will say. But we don't ask the same question. If you say, I want a proof for Golokam or Vaikuntham, oh no, we are not allowed to ask that question. We'll say, if you ask the proof, they'll say, no, it is mentioned in the Shastram. But this is also mentioned in the Shastram. Where else is it mentioned like this? So why we have this difficulty? Because we know Golokam is after death. Whereas this, if you have to accept it, I have to start now spiritual life. Golokam I can start later, or the old age. That's why we take the shortcut, easy route. Easy route is that. So therefore we prefer Golokam than the what Prahlada statement here. We are like that. That's our nature is like this. Because when Prahlada says to us, Nahya chudam prinayato bahuayaso asural majaham almatwal sarvabhudanam siddhatwaliha sarvada almatwal sarvabhudanam siddhatwaliha sarvada. Prahlada is saying this. And Krishna is saying to us what? Krishna is also saying to us that the Ishvara sarvabhudanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtadi brahmayan sarvabhudani yandra rutani mayaya. So there Krishna is also saying to us the same thing. We won't accept that. We are more busy with the Golokam and Vaikuntham and Kailasam. We prefer that than dealing with the local situation. As though this is a local shop and there's a supermarket there, to go there to get it. It is cheaper there on the other side. All misunderstanding, because whole of Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, there is so many statements to telling us that this is, find him there. Find him there. Tameva sharanam gacha sarvabhavena bharadam et prasadal param shandim sthanam prapsyasi shashvadam. That is the sthanam. That is the place where shashvadam, eternal existence, is there. So everything is there in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So the important thing in this verse also, Krishna is saying to us that Ishvara sarvabhudanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtadi. And we have seen here that in this verse, Krishna is saying, Bhaktya labhyastvan anyaya, he says, isn't it? Purushasa parapartha bhaktya labhyastvan anyaya. It is a vastu which already we have got it. But what you have already got it, do we have to get it? How will you get it? That is what Krishna is saying there. Bhaktya labhyastvan anyaya, ananya bhakti. Again, coming back to that, same thing what Krishna has spoken before, ananya bhakti. Remember? Ananya cheda sadadam yomam smarati nityasha tasyaham sulabha partha nitya yukta siyogina. Earlier verse, isn't it, remember? 8th or 9th verse it was. Ananya cheda sadam, ananya bhakti, he talked about that. Then ananya bhakti, that is what Krishna is saying here also. And purushasa parapartha bhaktya labhyastha ananyaya, he says, ananyam. Remember this word ananyam? I don't know whether you remember. We discussed this before. Yeah, good. Somebody remembered that. Bhaktya labhyastha ananyaya. Ananyam means what? Ananyam means this again. Anyashrayanam tyagaha ananyaha. Those words, there is no substitute for that. That's the only way you can understand that. Anyashrayanam tyagaha ananyaha. That means when you lose your complete dependence on everything else, anyashrayanam, that dependence goes away. Anyashayam tyagaha ananyaha. That is ananyatvam. Ananyatvam comes from there. That ananyatvam is a criteria in bhakti. Nothing else. All other sadhana and other things you can talk about it. But if there is no ananyatvam, that bhakti is not firm. That is the point Krishna is making. Because this chapter is a part of the bhakti shalkam. The 6 chapters refer to bhakti. And when coming to bhakti, Krishna is explaining to us that when there is no sharanagati and surrender to Krishna, whatever noise you may make in this world, at the end, that is all not going to help unless there is this ananyatvam there. Sharanagati, surrender there. Bhakti, whole bhakti process is centered around surrender and sharanagati. in the world, you may do so many things. That is vyavaharam it is. That is not important. But if there is no surrender at the end, there is no bhakti as far as Krishna is concerned. That's what he's making here. So, that bhakti Krishna has spoken about here, that anyashrayanam tyagaha ananya, he says, purushaha, purishayanat purnatvadva sa parapartaha, paro niratishayo yasmat purushat na param kinchit. Sa bhaktya alabhyaha tu jnana lakshanaya ananyaya alpavishaya yasya purushasya andastani madhyastani karya bhutani bhutani karyam hi karanasya andaruvarti bhavadi yena purushena sarvam idam jagad tatam vyaptam akashena iva ghadhadhi. That is how the bhashyam on that. In other words, purusha means puri shayanat purnatvadva sa parapartaha paro niradishayo yasmat purushat na param kinchit. In other words, purusha means who is sleeping inside this body. This is puri. Puri is this body, puram, puri. In this puri, but what is the speciality with this puri? It has got 9 holes in this body, isn't it? 9 holes in this body. And one who is sleeping inside this body. And that purushaha, niratishayaha, is amazing vastu that is inside, who is inside all of us. And in that purusha, within that purusha, he says, ananyaya bhaktya labhyastu jnana lakshanaya ananyaya alpa vishaya. Bhakti will take us to, bhakti, if there is proper bhakti in a person, it is considered to be a symptom of jnana. A person who has proper knowledge, he will have proper bhakti also. Jnana lakshanaya, he says, bhaktya labhya tu jnana lakshanaya. Jnana lakshanam is that bhakti. Jnanam with the proper knowledge. And he says here, ananyaya, that means his bhakti will be ananyam. All other bhakti, sadhana bhakti and all, is not jnana lakshanam. That is still a long way to go. But jnana lakshana bhakti is, through the jnanam, if the bhakti has come, it will be ananyam. That is the most important. That means total dependence on Krishna in everything, everything. For him, there is nothing else matters in this world. What matters in this world is that ananya bhakti, jnana lakshanaya, and ananyaya, and alpa vishaya, and that will be centered around the soul, not about the feast and other things, and the other rituals. What is normally our bhakti is centered around all of that, isn't it? Our sadhana, our pleasures, what we get from our bhakti. If I am getting some pleasure from the bhakti, I consider that as bhakti. And we say bhakti is very nice compared. But why? Because I am getting some sense gratification from that bhakti. Therefore, I consider it like that. But here, it is not that bhakti Krishna is talking about. Krishna is saying here, ananyayaha alpa vishayaha, because there is knowledge inside. The person has got the self, knowledge of the self inside. There is a different bhakti, which is parabhakti. Parabhakti, that is coming from the knowledge of the self, which is completely different category. Completely different category. Yasya, purushasya, andastani, madhyastani, karya bhudani, bhudani, karyam hi karanasya andarvarti. He knows very well that within that purusha, normally we say Krishna is inside, isn't it? That's how we understand Krishna. Actually, it is not like that. It is within Krishna is this body, mind, intelligence, everything. Again, problem with the space. If we understand the space, we will think, you will see like this, inside this hand, I can carry something. So this is the space I see like this. But in the Vedantam, it's the other way. Krishna is inside, and within Krishna is this body, this mind, this intelligence, everything. So time and space does not mean anything in spiritual life, when you come to spiritual life. Again, repeatedly stressing that point, because continuously we are conditioned by this thinking in terms of time and space. When we get freed from time and space, you will see, you completely understand Krishna consciousness better. Otherwise not. Otherwise, you won't understand Krishna consciousness. You will all be thinking in the conditioned way or in terms of time and space. Vaikuntham is somewhere else and Krishna is inside my heart. In that way, we will think. But actually, Krishna inside me, as we say, is holding this body, mind, intelligence, everything within him. Within him, he is carrying this.
Krishna is doing this everything. That's why I say, yasya, purushasya, andastani, madhyastani, karya bhudani, bhudani, karyam hi karanasya. Because he is the karanam, he is the cause, body is the karyam. Cause and effect. Krishna is the cause, body is the effect. Krishna is the cause, body is the effect. Cause is important, effect is not important. Normally for us, effect is important in this world. Isn't it? Drishyam is not important, drik is important. So that is the principle behind it. That's all implied in this verse. Karyam hi karanasya, andarvarti. And just like in a pot, there is a sky inside. There is a pot, there is sky inside. What will you say? Will you say the sky is inside the pot or pot is in the sky? That question, the same way. So, purushena, andarvarti bhavati yena purushena sarvamidam jagat tadam vyaptam akashena iva ghatadi. The example is like that. Akashena iva ghatadi. All the pots are within the space. Space is important, pot is not important. Pots are in the space, space is not inside the pot. That's the principle behind. So if it is like that, such a person can realize that with the knowledge of the self, that purushasa parapartha, he can reach that purusha. That is the conclusion. You can reach that purusha sa parapartha bhaktya labhyasa ananyaya. Through all that verse he's saying is through ananya bhakti. Again, Krishna is stressing the same point. Through ananya bhakti, you can realize that purusha who is in everyone. Who is in everyone. The same thing. So swarupanu anusandhanam bhaktirithya vidiyate. A bhakti is nothing but so swarupam, reaching one's own, realizing the self. So swarupam, knowing one's own swarupam is called jnanam, is called knowledge. In Srimal Bhagavatam also the same thing is there, without any difference. In the fifth canto, if you look, you will see there, in the fifth canto, Rajan Padir Gururalam, that is during the Rishabhadev's discussions with the Parikshet, Rishabha Vakyanam, when it was spoken, that means that, yes, Rishabha Maharshi, sixth chapter, if you look, you will see there, in the fifth canto, in the 18th verse,
Rajan Padir Gururalam Bhavadam Yadunam Devam Priyakulabadim Kojakingarovam Astu Eva Manga Bhagavan Bhajanam Mukundo Muktim Dadadi Karhijal Smana Bhakti Yogam.
This Bhakti, what is spoken here, is not the Bhakti what we are talking about, Sadhana Bhakti and all that. Completely different thing it is.
Rajan Padir Gururalam Bhavadam Yadunam Devam Priyakulabadi Kojakingarova Astu eva manga bhajato bhagavan bhajadam mukundo muktim dadadi karhijil smana bhakti yogam.
That here he says here, that my dear king, because Parikshit Maharaj asked this question to who? To Shuka Brahmarshi. What was the question? He says that, that when he heard about Rishabhadev giving up his body in the forest in Karnataka state, where he gave up his body, at that time when all these things happened, he asked this question, what is going to happen to me? Parikshit's doubt. And Shuka Brahmarshi saw that on his face, this doubt in his mind. What's going to happen to me? Because Rishabhadev, who had realized Krishna is another incarnation, he is, isn't it? So he gave up his body in a particular way. And seeing all this, there was a little bit of anxiety in the face of Parikshit. So, in order to remove that, straight away, Shuka Brahmarshi brought that issue back. That is, there was no other reason to say anything about liberation at that point. Because in that chapter, if you read it, you will see, Rishabhadev is giving up his body. And in a very peculiar way. How did he give up his body? You know that. What? But Rishabhadev, through his sannyasam, is famous, isn't it? Rishabhadev's sannyasam is proper sannyasam. Dattatreya Maharshi sannyasam is proper sannyasam. Rishabhadev sannyasam, Dattatreya Maharshi sannyasam, Jadabharda sannyasam, Shuka Brahmarshi sannyasam is proper sannyasam. It is. So Rishabhadev gave up his body. He was walking away like an avadhuta, without any clothes, without any, no identification with the body, completely freed from the body. But then why body? He was waiting for prarabdham has to go. So till then he has to wait for the body to go. So he is wandering around in this world completely unaffected by the body. Therefore he was not even conscious whether he had clothes on or not. Clothes on or not. He was walking like this and he came to this forest in Karnataka where all the opulences came to serve him. The Anima, Leghima, Mahima, Gerima, all of them. Different mystical opulences. They came to serve him and he says to them, why have you come? So they say to him, we have come to serve you. He says to them, I don't need any of your services. Thank you very much. You can go, he said. And he said to them, but they won't go. While leaving, what they did was, a small part of their opulences, they left it with him. All their opulences, they left it with him. So therefore, what happened was, when he left his body, he had a big stone in his mouth. Biting that stone because he did not want to speak to anybody at that stage. Because that is the gone beyond the varnam and ashramam, the four divisions of the in the material life is in varnashramam. He has gone beyond all that. So he was there and then there was a forest fire happened and he thought that this is the right time to give up this body. All great souls are like that. They want to give up the body at some time or the other. They prepare themselves for the life for that. You will see in the sixth canto, Dadiji Maharshi, when he was traveling in the deserts of Rajasthan, Dadiji has practiced this Narayana Kavacham very well. So what happened to him was, he had the capacity to give up the body when he wanted. At one point, Dadiji thought that, I had enough of this life in this world. I want to go. He felt. So he gave up his body in that place, in the deserts in Rajasthan. He was traveling through that, decided to give up his body and he left. And his bones were lying there. The bones from that dead body was lying there. And that is where you will see that the the Gandharvas were traveling in the plain on top of that. When they got on top of that bones, which are lying, the plane dropped, collapsed there and fell down. And then they found out the reason was that these bones who were lying there, they got this information from Krishna's arrangement. They got this information. It is there in the Bhagavatam in the sixth canto. And they picked up the bones, went and washed them all in the river. And with that, they had to make a weapon for the fighting Indra later. All those things comes in the Bhagavatam later. So one point I'm making here is that great spiritually realized souls, they want to give up their body at some point or the other. That's what I'm saying. So Rishabhadeva also wanted to give up his body and he was preparing himself for that. When he saw a suitable situation that the fire is burning, let me enter into the fire. He entered into the fire and he gave up his body there. So while he gave up his body, because these mystical opulences have come and given him that special mercy, wherever his body was got burned, an amazing smell started coming from there. So all these things Parikshit is hearing from Shukha Brahmarshi. Parikshit is hearing all these things. And Parikshit was thinking, what is going to happen to me? How is my end going to be? Because it's only by the time this is the third day practically. The fifth canto was spoken on the third day out of the 7 days. So he says this that so Shukha Brahmarshi mentioned this to him. Rajan Patir Gurudalam Pavadam Yadunam. You shouldn't be worrying about it, he said. A sort of an assurance to Parikshit. Why? Bhavadam Yadunam Devam Priyakulabadi Kojakingarova. After all, it is in your family that Krishna has come and taken birth, is it not? He says. And not only that, he has taken birth in your family, what else has he done? He was your advisor, he was your protector, and he was personality whom you worshipped, and he was your friend, and he always controlled your destiny in addition to that, and he was your representative while Mahabharata war was happening. He went as your representative also to talk to them. That Krishna, he says, yastastu evamanga bhagavan bhajadam mukundam. That Krishna, mukundam, muktim dadadi, he'll give liberation. But కర్హిజిల్ స్మన భక్తి యోగం. బట్ దట్ భక్తి ఈస్ డిఫికల్ట్. బిచ్ భక్తి, పరాభక్తి. ముక్తి విల్ గెట్ ఇట్, బట్ పరాభక్తి, మెనీ పీపుల్ విల్ గెట్ లిబరేటెడ్, బట్ పరాభక్తి ఈస్ డిఫికల్ట్. హీ సేస్ ముక్తిం దదాహి కర్హిజిల్ స్మన భక్తి యోగం. సో ఇన్ ఆర్డర్ దాట్ we don't get confused about that bhakti, in the very next verse Shuka Brahmarshi told Parikshit what is bhakti means, so that we don't mix it with our bhakti. Our bhakti is very famous, isn't it? Our bhakti does, we can write many puranam centered around our bhakti, is it not? We are such great mahatmas in this world, appeared by the causeless mercy that we have come to purify this world. So our bhakti is so much to be written about that. But this bhakti is, Shuka Brahmarshi wanted to say, it's a little different than your bhakti. That's all he wanted to say to us. He says, Nityanabhudam nijalabha nivrtta trishna shreyasya dadrajanaya chirasupta buddhihim logasya karunaya abhayam atmalogam akhyanamo bhagavade vishabhaya tasmaihim. Very nice way he has spoken. He says, నిత్యానుభూత నిజలాభ నివృత్త తృష్ణ. బికాస్ ఇన్ ద లాస్ట్ వర్డ్స్ హీ సెడ్ ముక్తిం దదాహి కర్మ కర్హిజల్స్ మన భక్తి యోగం. ముక్తి హీ గివ్స్, భక్తి హీ డజన్ గివ్ సో ఈజీలీ. ఆఫ్టర్ సేయింగ్ దాట్ హీ జస్ట్ వాంటెడ్ టు సే వాట్ ఈస్ దాట్ భక్తి. వాట్ ఈస్ దాట్ భక్తి? నిత్యానుభూతం నిజలాభ నివృత్త తృష్ణాశ్రయస్య దద్రజనయ చిరసుప్త బుద్ధి. దట్ వెన్ వన్ ఈస్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్సింగ్ the self-realization, at that stage it happens. When one experiences self-realization, Swarupa Anandam, that is why it is called Nityanabhudam. Nityanabhudam means you have realized the self inside, what it is, Antaryami inside, and from there Anubhuti comes. What is that Anubhuti? Anubhuti means realization. Realization comes from that, Nityanabhudam. And that means that awareness, what we talk about. We have gone back to that awareness and realized the self, what we are. From there comes anubhuti, our own realizations, nityanubhuti. Nijalabha nivrtta trishna, simultaneously all other desires have gone away from inside. That is very important, very very important. So long as we have desires, it means that there is no question of having nityanubhuti. Nityanubhuti and nivrtta trishna, these two things won't go together. Trishna means desires, Nityanubhuti means eternal realization of the self. Self-realization and desires cannot work together. There is no question of having desires when you have Nityanubhuti. So that is why he mentions there, Nityanubhuti, Nijalabha, Nivrtta Trishna. Nivrtta Trishna means freedom from desires. Freedom from desires, which is not very easy, isn't it? Which is not very easy. So many desires. If somebody asks us how much desires you have, we'll need a hard drive for 500 megabytes or something to fill up the whole thing, to list our desires. Endless desires, isn't it? But we will say to everybody, oh, I don't have any desire. I've given up all desires. Only if the prasadam gets delayed for an hour, you'll see how our nature changes in us. Isn't it? This is how great souls we are. సో నిత్యానులూప నిజలాభ నిత్యానుభూత నిజలాభ నివృత్త తృష్ణ. నివృత్త తృష్ణ ఈజ్ నాట్ ఈజీ, ఈజ్ నాట్ ఈజీ. కృష్ణ ఈజ్ సేయింగ్ దిస్ ఇన్ ద భగవద్గీత ఆల్సో ఇన్ మెనీ ప్లేసెస్. రాగద్వేష విముక్త దేర్ ఇస్ ఆల్సో ప్రజాహాది యదా కామాన్ సర్వాన్ పార్థ మనోగదాన్. హీ సేస్ కృష్ణ అర్జున, ఎవ్రీ సింగిల్ డిజైర్ దాట్స్ కమింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ యువర్ మైండ్, ప్రజాహాది యదా కామాన్ దాట్ మస్ట్ గో. సర్వాన్ పార్థ మనోగదాన్ ఆత్మన్యేవ ఆత్మన తుష్ట. He says, you have to be situated on the platform of the soul, otherwise it's not possible to be in that state. So from all those verses, you can see when Krishna is saying like this, Alma Ramascha Munayo Nirgrandhi Abhi Uru Krame Kurvandi Haidugim Bhaktim Ittham Budaguno Hari. In the Bhagavadam, in the second canto, I think. He says, Sudha Goswami says there, Shuka Brahmashi says there, that Atmaramascha Munayo, only Atmaramas are freedom from that, desires goes away from inside. Desires go from inside. So here also, Nityanubhuta Nijalabha Nivrtta Trishna.
Due to that, Shreyasi Dadrajanaya Chirasupta Buddhehe, that one person, because of his identification with the body, he does not know what is auspicious for him. He only knows about his body and the world, what he is living. That's all his awareness is about. So when one is in that state, and that is the world, generally the world is like that, isn't it? Majority of the people are under identification with the body, and what they enjoy is this world. The world and the body, these two things. One who is identifying with the body and interacting with the world, they are considered to be in ignorance. That is the state what it is here. So, Shreyasya Drajanaya Chira Supta Buddhe, they are in that deep sleep state. They call that deep sleep state. One who is absorbed in the body and one who is interacting with the world and enjoying the world, they are called Chirasupta Buddhe. Their intelligence is very dull. That means they are absorbed in the body and the world. To them, Lokasya, to that people and the world, Ya Karunaya Abhayam Atma Lokam. To them, out of compassion, who? Rishabhadev, out of compassion, Abhayam Atma Lokam Akhyal Namo. Who gave the transcendental knowledge to this world. Remember, when he called Bharata Maharaj, who later on became Jadabharata, his eldest son, in his third lifetime, he came as Jadabharata, isn't it? That Jadabharata and the nine yogis, Kavi, Hari, Andariksha, they are all his children. Is it not? They are all his children. And he gave transcendental knowledge to them. He instructed them. And from them, Srimad Bhagavatam is filled with their instructions, is it not? So, Akhyan Namo Bhagavade Rishabhaya Tasmai, to that Rishabhadev, Shugabrahmarshi pays his obeisances. Shugabrahmarshi pays his obeisances to Rishabhadev. Why? It is from Rishabhadev we have got Jadabharata. It is from Rishabhadev we have got the nine yogis. Navayogis. They both came from Rishabhadev, did they not? And they got the instructions from whom? Rishabhadev. The nine yogis as well as Jadabharata, they got instructions from Rishabhadev. So if they haven't spoken, how we will know the transcendental life, the spiritual life, what it is, in the proper way? In the proper way to understand, that's the only way to go. So that is why he is saying this, and he says to, that is why he wanted to say here, when he talked about bhakti, when he talked about bhakti, he wanted to make it clarify there itself what bhakti means. It's not a very cheap thing. Bhakti is not a cheap thing. Bhakti, proper bhakti, what Krishna talks about in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, is something beyond our imagination even, what that bhakti means. So, here, he mentions there that mukti is not enough, you should get bhakti, he says. But that bhakti also, we have to understand what that bhakti means. Mukti means, if you know, realize the self, then it is mukti. If you have realized the self, then it is mukti. And if you continuously pursue that, after reaching that state, enjoying there, in that state, that mukti state, after pursuing that, for anusandhanam they call it, anusandhanam, again and again, and then that Krishna is available inside, that means, although you have realized that self, what you are, but enjoying that state is bhakti. Realizing the self is mukti, enjoying that state is bhakti. That is the only proper explanation for bhakti. No other explanation for bhakti. Not that I did 5 times, 3 times to the navel, 5 times to the face, 10 times to the... And I'm 24 hours busy with this. All the rules and regulations of this world, all that is not important for Krishna is concerned. They are there in sadhana to help us. They are there in sadhana to help us. But ultimately, Srimad Bhagavatam is not talking about that bhakti. Srimad Bhagavatam is talking about that bhakti, what happens after mukti. Realizing and the self is mukti, but in that state enjoying is bhakti. Enjoying is bhakti. That is why he says here, and that requires what is known as anusandhanam. Anusandhanam. So, and once in that state, when you continuously do what is known as anusandhanam, that's pursuing that state and enjoying that, it is available to anybody. It's just like a fruit in the hand. For him, it becomes so easily available. So, and when you start enjoying and getting that nectar in that state of mukti, that is called bhakti. There is a rasam there. Bhakti is a rasam, or the juice of mukti. So, after hearing all this, you may say, oh, I'm happy with mukti, at least. I'm not too bothered about bhakti. Bhakti and all, you can keep it there. But the thing is that although all these things may look unattainable or unachievable, Shastram has to speak the truth. Shastram has to speak the truth. And knowing these things is important so that we don't get misled by false things that spoken, because Shastram is the only right thing in this world. There are so many people saying so many different things in this world in the name of bhakti. Can become a total entertainment business if you want to make it, is it not? You will see nowadays many places bhakti has taken so many different forms. It has become very charismatic or with a lot of glamour and lot of fun, and everybody says, oh, bhakti is such a nice process. All you have to do is to give him plenty of prasadam and a place to sleep. Everybody will say bhakti is the best process. That's all it takes to do that. But that is not what Krishna is saying here. When we go into a subtle level, you can see where bhakti takes us to. Bhakti is not a... And that bhakti, that is what Radharani is famous for. This bhakti, what Krishna is talking about, this Shukabrahmashi is saying here. In bhakti subject, Radharani is Shuga Brahmarshi's spiritual master. Anaya Radhido Nunam Bhagavan Haririshwara. He says, Aradhana, Aradhana. She has performed so much Aradhana and she became Radha. That is how the name Radha has come. So, Anaya Radhido Nunam Bhagavan Haririshwara. Therefore, bhakti subject, Shuga Brahmarshi's teacher is Radharani. Radharani. Shuga Brahmarshi is so advanced a person in mukti state, isn't it? And he has accepted Radharani as his guru, as his spiritual master in that way. So, bhakti means what? There is no vibhakti. Vibhakti means separated. So, from the beginning itself, in these words you can see, purushasa parapartha bhaktya labhyastvan anyaya. Isn't it? Bhaktya labhyastvan anyaya. And yasyandasthani bhudani yenam sarvam idam tatam. He says, tadam. So bhakti, he has used that word. Now, unfortunately, what has happened, the difficulty is this. Because we got used to hearing these stories too much, the nature of bhakti has changed. That is the problem now. People have got used to hearing these stories, so many stories. When you keep on hearing too many stories, the nature of bhakti will change. And that is what has happened. It is heartbreaking to see that. And then what happens is, we become so much influenced by the stories and influenced by the rituals, the whole essence will not be there. There will be no essence at all. Everything will be centered around the rituals. You will be performing a lot of rituals and seeing that all these rituals are bhakti. Or you are carried away by all the stories, what you heard. Oh, I heard this story, I heard that story. And if you look into internet, there will be 10 different versions of the story also. Same thing. And so many stories. And bhakti is all centered around the stories now, is it not? And that is why this problem has come. Because it is centered on, because we kept on hearing this story, story after story. And that the word itself, bhakti, its meaning has changed. Its meaning has changed. So therefore, when we are discussing this here, in the Bhagavad Gita class here now, that you may find this a lot different than probably what you have heard elsewhere. But if you look into the Shastram in the past, and what definition Narada Maharshi has given for bhakti, where did they all come from? You have to ask that question. And if you know, look at everything in Upanishads,
There is practically no difference between bhakti and jnanam. In Upanishads, there is no difference between bhakti and jnanam. If you get rid of your false ego from inside, destroying that false ego inside, that is bhakti. That is bhakti. And how will we get that bhakti? Krishna is answering there, ananyaha. That is the word. So many places Krishna has used that word. Ananya cheta sadadam yomam smarani nityasha tasyaham sulabha partha nitya yuktasya yoginam. Isn't it? So ananyaha, that is the answer. We'll discuss it again. So bhakti, that is the discussion now. Bhakti and jnanam, there is no difference. There is no difference. If you have reached that state, what? Muktim dadadi karhijils mana bhakti yogam. That is why Bhagavadam mentions there that at that stage there is no difference. Ananyatvam, ananyata. What does the word they have used there? Ananyatvam means that when there is no ananyatvam, separation from Krishna. Separation from Krishna. That is bhakti. Because if there is separation, then vibhakti will come. Vibhakti. In the Sanskrit, it is like this. The grammar and this philosophy goes together. Very much so. So, for example, if I say I am, the moment I say I, then there is you. And then there is he or she. If there is I, there is he, there is you, and then there is he or she. Is it not? But if I am not there, then you are not there, and he or she is also not there. He or she is also not there. So, so when I go away, I means that false ego in me. When that goes away, it comes to that state, he disappears, you disappear, he or she all disappears. Because these are all which has the false ego's different manifestation is this, I, you, he, she, all these things. Is it not? So, bhakti, what does it bhakti do? Bhakti makes it clear to us, except Krishna, there is nothing else in this creation. There is nothing else in this creation. That is what bhakti does. Except Krishna, separated from Krishna, nothing exists. There is not me, there is not you, there is not he or she either. So based on this, there is a verse written, which is, everything is Krishna at the end. That is what it is. That means, in the grammar, they have seven different kinds of vibhakti. Seven different kinds of vibhakti. That using all those things, it mentions like this. Krishna rakshatu mam chara chara guru Krishnam namasye sada Krishne naiva surakshidoham asakral Krishnaya dattam manaham Krishna deva samulbhavo mama vibho Krishnasya dasosmyaham Krishne bhakti rachanjalastu bhagavan He Krishna tubhyam nama. If you look at that verse, what happens is vibhakti means the endings of. One is Krishno, the next one is Krishnam, then Krishne, then Krishnaya, then Krishnadeva, then Krishnasya, then Krishne, He Krishna Tubhyam Nama. Krishno Rakshadumam Charanchara Guru, Krishnam Namasye Sada, Krishne Neiva Surakshitoham Asakral Krishnaya Dattam Mana. Krishna Deva Samulbhavo Mama Vibho Krishnasya Dasosmyaham Krishne Bhakti Achanjalastu Bhagavan He Krishna Tubhyam Nama. So here you can see that using the word Krishna, they have brought all different kinds of vibhaktis into it, and ultimately everything instead of me, I should go away from there. Everything has to be replaced by Krishna inside, the word Krishna inside. Only Krishna. And in the Parabhakti state or pure devotion, Bhava Bhakti, it is different than the Bhava Bhakti. Parabhakti is different from the Bhava Bhakti. What is the difference? Bhava Bhakti means when you have the Bhavam, the Bhakti will come. All our Bhakti, if you look carefully, you will see. Someday you are a pure devotee. Another moment, you feeling like a demon. This happens, isn't it?
In our bhakti, it happens. One moment, you feel a pure devotee you are. And the next day, you are feeling like a big demon altogether. That is bhava bhakti. Para bhakti, what is the difference? All the time, that in the realized state, that is the difference. All the time in the... If it is coming and going, you can't trust that. Anything that's coming and going, you cannot trust that. Like the way it has come, it will go also in the same way. So bhava bhakti, so here it says, but bhava bhakti is necessary also, because it is through bhava bhakti you come to para bhakti. Through bhava bhakti you come to para bhakti. Bhava means at the different times you experience bhakti, what it means. So, but due to the power of that bhavam, you have to transcend that bhava bhakti. Transcend the bhava bhakti to the power of bhavam, and through the bhavam, and to be situated within oneself, in the self, that is pure bhakti. To be situated within oneself. Initially, when in the bhakti, sadhana bhakti, you do not realize about the self, do you? All what you are doing is different process of sadhana. Shravanam, smaranam, archanam, mandanam, that means chanting the holy name and remembrance, serving the devotees and all other different kinds of things you are doing. That's all in the sadhana stage. At that time, there is no realization of the self inside. But after realizing the self, when bhakti happens, that bhakti is para bhakti. But by then what has happened is that due to the power of this sadhana, bhava bhalam, bhavana happens inside, he comes to realize that a bhakti which is centered around the self inside, which is what is known as the antaryami principle inside, that is uttama bhakti. We'll give you the example how that thing works. When Chandrasekhara Bharati, who was the 64th acharya of the Sharada Math, he talks about that in detail. He says there that you may ask the question, if you go for, say, a 24-hour kirtan or a bhajan or a harinam for that matter, you feel happy, isn't it? For that particular time, you feel happy. When you are chanting with so many other devotees together, you have the holy name. So therefore, it has come up now everywhere, is it not? Everywhere it has come up, these 24-hour kirtan and kirtan mela and all that, what you are hearing now in the websites. And it's happening in different places due to devotees' desire to conduct some kind of coming together and doing something together. So the kirtanam, bhajans and all that has come from that, right? So kirtanam, bhajanam, if we ask the question, is it not enough if I go and attend all these programs, always in the association of devotees, say, Birmingham one Kirtan Mela is going on, there's another Kirtan Mela going on in Berlin or somewhere, and somewhere else in America or in Europe. So you keep traveling to all these places, and you feel that you are participating in all these things. Is that not sufficient? You may ask the question. Answer is no. Answer is no. Because the reason is, whatever we have been told as the anushtanam. Anushtanam means for various people in different way. For example, normally devotees mainly chanting the 16 rounds, chanting the japam. The chanting the japam and other things like studying Bhagavadam, all these things you cannot give up at any stage. But the reason for that, I'll explain why it is like that. Because that question will come. Is it not enough if I do all the Kirtan Mela, if I go and attend all the Kirtan Melas, is that not sufficient? Why should I do my daily sadhana? That question will come, isn't it? People will ask that question. Because you can't do everything ultimately. It's not possible. And that means Kirtan Mela means you have to go to another place and where it's happening and you have to be there with them. And there's nothing wrong with that. But the point is that if you ask the question that is that not enough, the answer is no. The answer is no. Reason is that you are saying that you enjoy that. That's why you are going for that, isn't it? You enjoy that. That's why you are going for that. At that time, in that situation, what is happening is You are the enjoyer and Krishna is the enjoyed. You are the enjoyer at that time and Krishna is the enjoyed. In other words, you are enjoying it and Krishna has become an object of your enjoyment. An object of your enjoyment. Here, your false ego has grown big. It didn't become small in that state. Your false ego has gone big and didn't become small on the other hand. You are tasting it and Krishna has become the object of taste. Object of the taste. You are the consumer there and Krishna is the product of your consumption. Krishna is the product of the consumer. On the other hand, all other things like japam, chanting the holy name, studying Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and studying them and absorbing them within yourself, or as you are instructed by the spiritual master, whatever he has instructed, you are actually taking a position that you are a surrendered person there. You are doing what you are told, not doing what you like. There's a big difference there. When you go for any of these programs, you must keep this in mind also. I am going, why? Because I enjoy it. That's why I go for that. Everybody likes Kirtan Mala, 10, 12 days, nice prasadam, always chanting together, various tunes and various... people love all that, isn't it? And all being together with so many people. And you are feeling that, oh, I'm spiritually doing very well. No, you're not. Actually, there what's happening is you are enjoying and Krishna is enjoyed. Whereas in sadhana, in your own sadhana, you are like a slave. You are doing what you are told to do and that will bring your false ego down. On the other hand, in other places, your false ego will go up. It's always like that. You can see some of these places, it can become, they may talk a big things there in these places. They will talk a big things. Oh, you have to be very focused while chanting and you have to be fully concentrated. That's all you can say, that's fine. But the movement of the false ego, it's not possible to control because you are controlling the situation, not Krishna is controlling the situation. Whereas in sadhana, you are surrendering to Krishna that I am doing what you have told me to do. Krishna is telling us to do certain things, isn't it? Sadadam kirtayando mam yadandas chadrada vrada namasyandas chamam bhaktya nitya yuktam upasade. Keeping Bhagavad Gita's principles and Srimad Bhagavatam principles inside, executing sadhana is a great thing because you are following Krishna's instruction, which means your false ego will come down, not grow further, which is the main problem for us. False ego is the problem, not the other things. People think that attention means, so I'm very focused on chanting and all that. That's all you can say, that's fine. What does this focused means? What does focus mean? You will be focused for 10 minutes, then the mind will be gone somewhere else. The false ego is the problem. That false ego won't go till you know how to surrender to Krishna's instructions. When Krishna is saying to us something in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, taking those instructions inside and keeping those instructions inside and executing the sadhana is surrender. That is surrender. That is why it is said it is not the higher option, it's a lower option. All this kirtanam and 24 hours, they are all there. That is because in this world so many things will happen. But you must know what is the right thing to do. You should know what is the right thing to do. This is what I am saying. In spiritual life, there are so many options in this world. So many different institutions, so many people coming and coming out with their own ideas. And they will try to propagate that always. But is it the right thing? That question you have to ask. If you're not asking that question, following like a sheep everywhere for doing everything, it's no good. Because Chandrasekhar Bhari mentions this. He says, that is why he says, anushtanam, sadhana, whatever that has been given, that must be done. That must be done. There's no question. Otherwise, your ego won't go. How does... The idea is, doing sadhana is not for anything. Krishna doesn't want that I should suffer in life. But am I surrendered to Krishna? That is the question. Are you willing to listen to him, what he is saying? Whether it is in the Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. So, here you can see
that there you are the enjoyer and Krishna is the enjoyed. Here you are a servant. Here you, in this sadhana, you are a servant. So when you become a slave like that, and in whichever situation Krishna has put us in life, whatever distress is coming to us in our life, tolerating all that, that is surrender. Not escaping from all this and going and sitting in a mela and enjoying that. You have to look at the other side also. That's not surrender. For the external world, it may appear, oh, he comes for all the Kirtan mela, everywhere he is there, I meet him. We say like this. I'm not saying anything against the Kirtan mela. That is their choice, whoever is doing that. But the principle behind that is this, that you may go anywhere, participate in anything, but is there surrender there? That's the question. Surrender is when you are taking Krishna's instructions seriously in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, understanding them, digesting them, and incorporating them in within himself, and executing the sadhana. And in doing that time, you may have a lot of distress in this world. Material nature, Maya, will give you a lot of trouble in many ways. Even if all that is happening, still able to tolerate that, that is surrender. That is surrender. That is why Krishna is saying here that becoming an instrument of Krishna is more important. Becoming an instrument of Krishna, in that case, the ego will disappear in due course. And it is a very subtle point as far as the spiritual life is concerned. So whatever the spiritual master or the Shastram has given to us, and you have to give importance to that, not anything else. That's the main principle. To give importance to that, that's the main principle. Not I should give importance to my enjoyment. To my enjoyment. Because there are so many ways you can enjoy in spiritual life. You may be thinking you are living in spiritual life. It may not take you very far. For example, there is so many nice musical concerts. So those who are following the Vedic tradition, for them there is so many nice musical concerts in so many places going on. Isn't it? And what they sing there is nice kirtans and bhajans. And there are professional entertainers now who will come with the whole band and sit there with all their instruments and nice singing in all ragam and everything, all tunes, and you will enjoy all that. It's nice enjoyment, it's a real. And you may be thinking that I am enjoying spiritual life, it's wonderful, bhakti yogam is fantastic, you may say like that, but it's not taking you to the goal though. It's not happening. Because if it is not destroying the ego inside, on the other hand, what will happen is the ego will boost, get boosted there. Whereas it is only when you take Krishna's word seriously, what he has told us in the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and struggling to get to know what it is, and after knowing that, bringing it inside and digesting that, accommodating that within, and living that life, at the same time, in that process, you may not be able to satisfy all your material comforts and happiness in life. For that, you may have to sacrifice many things. Lot of distress may come in life, family life and official life and whatever it is. All kinds of problems will come. Tolerating all that for the sake of executing your own sadhana, that is surrender. That is surrender. That is why it is important to understand that word. Purushasa parapartha bhaktya labhyas ananya. Ananya bhakti won't come otherwise. Ananyaya. And Krishna is saying there, bhaktya labhyas yasyandastani bhudani yenam sarvam idam tatam. Isn't it? So, instead of, if you do it that way, it becomes bhogam. If you do it this way, it becomes yogam. That's the difference. Going for all the programs, entertain and making it an entertainment and enjoying it all the time, because it's quite natural. When you have money in the hand and able to spend, you may think that I am becoming spiritual by going for all the programs all over the world. There are people who are doing traveling all over like that and participating in all the programs. Wherever there is, oh, I went for this mela, then I go for another, when is the next mela? You inquire about that, isn't it? There are young people who are doing a lot of this, completely misguided. Never been told about them what's the right thing to do. And completely misguided, they are thinking, oh, spiritual life is a nice career. Especially this bhakti is fantastic. It's such a nice way of life. Only thing you need money and you collect it from somebody. Somebody should pay for your entertainment and enjoyment. That's the Bhakti Yogam now. Come to that state. It's ridiculous. This is because there is no proper understanding of what is bhakti, what is Krishna is talking about. Because there you are gratifying your senses more than anything else, going to all this. But inside you have a misunderstanding that I am in spiritual life. Look, I spent so many hours in the kirtan, but I did not do what I have been told to do. In that way, it happens like that. So it does not mean that you should not have bhajans or chanting the holy name together. You have to know where to keep it under control. Krishna is saying is, whatever spiritual activity you are doing, if it is not based on dependence on me, it is a waste of time. Jara marana mokshaya mam ashrite yatandiye te brahmaha tadvidu krishnam adhyatmam karma chakilam. Otherwise it's not spiritual life. People make their material life spiritual by somehow or the other tying it up with spirituality. It won't work like that. Surrender is spirituality. That's what Krishna is saying there. That jaramarana mokshaya mamashrite yandiye. Those who want to escape from the cycle of birth and death, mamashrite yatandiye. Whatever they do will be by depending on me. Taking my shelter, they will execute their spiritual life. Otherwise, it cannot work. Mamashrite yatandiye. Krishna says, mamashritya. Depending on me, you have to execute your spiritual life. Te brahma tadvidu krishnam adhyalmam karma chakilam. Krishna says, you should not execute spiritual life for your taste, for your enjoyment, for your happiness. Taking my shelter, surrendering to me, Krishna says, surrender to me, prapatti. That is the word Ramanujacharya uses, that word prapatti. Prapatti is the most important word. Prapatti means sharanagati, surrender in that way. Not for my enjoyment. I am doing what Krishna has told me to do. And let Krishna do whatever he likes with me. That is the attitude. In other words, when one becomes an instrument in Krishna's hands, that is the perfection. That is the perfect state, pure devotion. It is pure bhakti. If you do like that, what will happen? What will happen is, the three modes of material nature, sattvam, rajas, tamas, isn't it? Goodness, passion and ignorance, they will not influence you. They will not influence you. That is the benefit. If you surrender and do what you have been told by the Shastram and the Guru, if you do that, three modes of material nature will not bother you. Because when Krishna becomes the object, or Krishna comes in, I'll feel happy about it. So you can see here like this. Suppose you have been sitting in a nice bhajan hall. Bhajans are good. You've got some best kirtaniyas in this world, as they call it. Kirtaniyas. They come with all the instruments and they sat together. And the kirtan is going on. And if you sit there for a while, you'll get some happiness from that, is it not? And from that happiness, but as soon afterwards, once you come out, you'll feel depressed. You'll feel depressed because the happiness is gone. And you'll feel depression also. And you'll feel, that is when you feel that a kind of tamogunam will develop at that time. And tension will come, depression will come from that. And sometimes, you can also depression or distress can come, anger can come from all that. Because it is something that's happening. When you get this instantaneous happiness, what you derive from these experiences, like in the bhajana or kirtanam, for temporarily you will get something, but as soon as you leave the hall, you feel again back to the old conditions, which is not a good situation. That's why it says here. So, not only that, there's also another problem that when you go for all these bhajana program and all that,
because it is more of becoming like an entertainment and a performance, in other words, you will sometimes will come to this understanding, oh, he's not singing like the way he sang the other day, it was very nice, today it is not that good. All this kind of opinions will come, and because he's not giving you the enjoyment what you are looking for, that's why it is. He's not giving you the enjoyment what you are looking for, and they should give it. If he's not giving it, he doesn't get the mark. It'll become like that. So inner pleasure seeking, that's what it is. Inner pleasure seeking. Just like we watch the TV. Why do we watch the TV? Because we get some pleasure inside, isn't it? Similarly, we experience a sukham or happiness inside, and so if you keep on holding on to that kind of sukham, that false ego also will remain in that way. False ego also will remain in that way. But false ego won't go. That is a very subtle side of it. When you are deriving happiness from such situations through this kind of entertainment bhakti or glamorous bhakti, if you are listening like these programs on the television, all these things are like that. If you watch them or hearing very nice, everything wonderful, beautiful stage, marquee, and professional players playing the music, and speak thousands of people sitting there, wonderful, you are sitting in your nice living room and you are enjoying it. But the problem with all this is that it is not any way affecting your false ego inside. You may be thinking you are in spiritual life, but spiritual life means when your false ego gets wiped out. When your false ego gets wiped out, it is called Ananya Bhakti. Otherwise, it's not. Ananya Bhakti will come from when the destruction of the false ego inside, Ahankara Kshayam, that is what they call it. Ahankara Kshayam. Destruction of the false ego inside, that is the proper bhakti, what Krishna mentions here. So that may not happen. When we are experiencing it through, this is very common in all, in Jnana Margam also it's there. You will start reading so many books in so many places, everywhere you will search, get this information, that information, and feeling some happiness from that. That hasn't helped your ahankaram. False ego is still there. I have collected all this information from everywhere, and the false ego is still there. So what is the use of all this information, what you have got? So that ahankaram won't go. That is the problem there. But when he realizes the tattvam properly, and he executes bhakti with the understanding of the tattvam, that is why tattvam is important. Tattvikam, it is called. Tattvika bhakti. That means bhakti combined with the tattvam, the principle behind it, then that difference is the other bhakti is prakritam. Prakritam means very rough, crude bhakti. Very crude bhakti. Tattvika bhakti is different. Tattvika bhakti changes the person. Crude bhakti or prakrita bhakti keeps the person as he is. Nothing will change. He will remain as it is. That is why sharanagati, surrender, execution of sadhana, studying Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, understanding them and getting that our way of thinking, changing our way of thinking, and change must happen. If the change is not happening, that is no use. What is the benefit of all this? Self-realization is not something you can study like in the college, or whereas the other thing is like a college course. That is why we say that these courses, seminars are all misleading. It is not spiritual. We have to say this to them, but they may accept it or not, that's another thing. It is not helping you in your spiritual path. It's getting you more information, and they will book a hall and accommodation for you. You pay £500, £1,000, go there, enroll a member, get a title, write down Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhavam, Bhakti Vedanam, whatever you want to write at the end of your name. You can carry all that. But where are you spiritually? What is your state at that time? You have to ask that question. That's why when you don't study Bhagavad Gita, you won't understand these things. Krishna is saying to us, Paras, then, Purushasa Parapartha Bhaktiya Labhyastha Ananyaya. He put that condition there, Ananya Bhakti, isn't it?
భక్త్యా లభ్యాస్తు అనన్యయ యస్యందస్థాని భూతాని ఏనం సర్వం ఇదం తతం. హి సైస్, కెన్ యూ సీ దాట్ వాట్ కృష్ణ ఇస్ సేయింగ్? దాట్ ఇఫ్ యూ డూ నాట్ అండర్స్టాండ్ భగవద్గీత ఇన్ దిస్ వే, యూ విల్ గో అండ్ డూ ఆల్ సార్ట్స్ ఆఫ్ రాంగ్ థింగ్స్ అండ్ మిస్లీడ్ ద రెస్ట్ ఆఫ్ ద వరల్డ్ ఆల్సో. దాట్స్ వాట్ విల్ హ్యాపన్. యూ విల్ డూ సంథింగ్, నాట్ ఓన్లీ యూ విల్ డూ ఇట్, a group of them will come together and mislead the rest of the world. And any new person comes, he comes, he sees this, he says, oh, this is bhakti, let me also join that. Why? He didn't take the trouble to understand what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita. Rather, he'll be driven by all the show, entertainment, glamour and whatnot. Everything else will drive him in. And he will also waste a lot of time in this life. And then after that, by the time he realizes something proper, the time is over. So that is what we say, tattva bhakti. So that is why tattvam, understanding tattvam, is important in the sense he will not become a slave of any modes of nature. Will not become a slave of any modes of nature. He'll become a slave of Krishna. He'll become a slave of Krishna. Nothing else. No slave for anything else. Krishna's slave means what? Krishna slave means that personality who is within the heart as Antaryami, who is controlling my life every moment in everything, good or bad, whatever that is happening, that is always conscious of that, that surrender. And whatever emotions, that if any emotions comes from their source, it is not my emotion, it is Krishna's emotion. Whether it is in the form of, in other words, no attachment anywhere. Sattvam, Rajasa, Tamasa, these three modes of nature will not have any effect on him. And that bhakti, Krishna refers to him as Ananya Bhakti. In other words, except Krishna, there is no other shelter. That is that bhakti. So, living like that, completely dependent on Krishna, as Krishna's servant, and just like an instrument, Krishna says there, isn't it? That instrument in Krishna's hands. In that way, and wherever Krishna has put us in, whatever situation in this world, accept it in that way, and living in that way, that is what Krishna is saying here. Yasya andastani bhudani yenam sarvam idam tatam, he says. It can't be more straight than that. He says, andastani bhudani yena sarvam idam tatam. He's saying that andastani bhudani, we are not awareness of that awareness that Krishna is inside me, he is controlling my life. Why should I worry? That way to live, andastani bhudani, yena sarvam idam tadam, and everyone in this world is also in the same situation. So that is why it is mentioned like that. So that means that Krishna is only person who is present in everyone, and Krishna is present within everyone, and at the same time that mood of that devotee who is in that state of consciousness, his consciousness is not centered around a temple, not centered around a form, not centered around a deity, or what is it, sarva bhudeshu antaryami he has become, yena sarvam idam tatam, Krishna says. The nature of that devotee, Krishna is explaining that. You see how Krishna is saying this? Purushasa parapartha bhaktya labhyastu ananyaya. What will happen to him? Yes, andastani bhudani. His realization is, in all living entities, it is only Krishna who is present in everybody. Yes, andastani bhutani, and yena sarvam idam tadam. In other words, he is not centered around a temple or a deity or any other form. No. Yes, andastani bhutani, yena sarvam idam tadam. That is Krishna consciousness. That is Krishna consciousness. Other things are all just so many millions of people are doing in this world. There's nothing special about that, isn't it? So that is why when you become spiritual understanding comes, you have to follow Bhagavad Gita. There is no other choice. You can't ignore Bhagavad Gita in these things. Bhagavad Gita is the standard book of spirituality, spiritual life. If you do not accept the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, but you do something else, and on a Gita Jayanti day, I sit together with another 500 people and distribute thousands of Gitas to everybody and read through all the 800, 700 verses and had a big feast and gone home, that's not going to help very much. That's not going to help. We are not criticizing that, but what I'm saying is that these are important. This is the message. Bhagavad Gita's message is that Purushasa Parapartha Bhaktya Labhyasto Ananyaya Yasyandastani Bhudani Yenam Sarvam Idam Tatam, he says. Right now, that is what one we have to cultivate inside. That is Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, what is it? What does it all mean at the end? To opening a temple and getting some people together, that's not the whole purpose of life. Krishna is saying, this realization, when that happens, that is proper realization. Krishna is telling us everything very straight away. And that is Krishna calls, Yena Sarvam Idam Tadam. He says, and it is present in everywhere. And one who sees Krishna in that way, that is pure bhakti, parabhakti or pure bhakti. So such a person who has reached that stage, for him, Krishna says, purushasyaha labhyaha, he gets purusha. He gets that purusha. Purusha means sandaryami inside. He gets it. So how will he get that? You can see this going back to Bhagavad Gita. You will see there. In Vishwarupa Darshanam, that means in that universal form also, you know, remember that Arjuna saw Krishna in the universal form, isn't it? How did he see? Wherever he looked, his vision of Krishna was like the way realized souls have seen, due to Krishna's mercy. Because Krishna mentioned in the beginning, isn't it, the universal form, I will give you the divine eyes to see me as I am, he says. Remember, if you look into universal form chapter, which is the 11th chapter, the beginning is, Krishna is saying there that I'll give you the eyes to see me. Let me see. It's there, verse 8. Natumam drakshasye drishtum aneneiva svachakshusha divyam dadamide chakshu pashyame yogam aishwaram. Say, isn't it? Divyam dadamide chakshu. So Krishna has made Arjuna as a jnani temporarily, given that vision to him. Divyam dadamide chakshu pashyame yogam aishwaram, he says. The divyam dadami de chakshu. Nadumam shakshase drishtam. Otherwise you won't be able to see me as I am. And that is why here you can see in that verse that purushasa parapartha bhaktyalabhyasta ananyaya yasyandastani bhudani enam sarvamidam tadam. That to see Krishna present in every living and Yasyandastani Bhudhani. That is an important statement in that verse. And if that happens, he says there that you will see that is Parabhakti, and one who has got that Purushasya Labhyaha, Purushasa Parapartha. So what, when Arjuna saw, what happened when Arjuna saw that? Arjuna saw Krishna has millions of eyes, millions of faces, millions of heads, millions of hands, millions of legs. Wherever he looks, only Krishna's universal form. In other words, this universe itself is Krishna's form. That vision Arjuna had at that time. Arjuna had that when Krishna gave that vision to him. He got it. Krishna, he was able to see that. So, you can see this, it's also in the Vedam. The same thing of, this is Vaidigam it is. It's Vedam, from Vedams. Only this has come. That in the Sri Rudram, the famous prayers for Lord Shiva, in that Sri Rudram, there is a mantram which says the word Harikeshaya Nama. Harikesha, that's a mantram referring to Lord Shiva. Harikesha means the meaning that there's also greenish hair, greenish color hair. And in other words, all the trees, plants, everything is addressed as Rudra, Shiva's manifestation. In the Sri Rudram prayers, it is like that. All the trees and plants as
Lord Shiva's hair. In the same way it is explained, this realization is for the Rishi who gave the mantram Shri Rudram, who gave us this Shri Rudram to us. So, suppose if we have not understood in that way, our intelligence will take us in a different way. We'll start thinking, oh, Lord Shiva has got green hair, has he? Something like that, we will go in a different path. But actually, the Rishi's realization is that all the trees, plants, all the green things in this world is, in other words, it's presence of Lord Shiva there. And then everywhere, Lord Shiva is present there in all these things. That is what that prayer Shri Rudram is talking about. So, in the there is a famous, like in the time of Vidyaranya Swamiji, there was a personality who got his famous commentary. Those who are studying Vedam and Upanishads and all, they study these commentaries. Sayanacharya was his name. Sayana wrote his commentary. Sayanacharya's commentary is so famous on the Rigvedam, other things, with the ones which are translated to English language and to German language, that's all Sayanacharya's commentary. Sayanacharya was a famous personality, authority on the Vedam, on the Rigvedam. That Sayanacharya's commentary, he mentions there also that Hari, who is Hari? He mentions there Hari Kaha Ishaha. He mentions in that Hari Kaha Ishaha. That's how he has explained there that one who is present in the form of Hari, which is Vishnu's form, Hari, and one who is present Kaha, Brahma's form in the world, and one who is present as the Hari Isha. Isha is Shiva. One who is present in the form of Shiva, to him my obeisances. So Sayanacharya's Bhashyam, he mentions there that it's a story, what incident, what happened in his life, in Sayanacharya's life. He was a famous authority on the Vedam. So Sayanacharya introduces Vedam commentary. Vedam, that means talking about Rigvedam. He's talking about the Rigvedam. He's writing his commentary on that. So this commentary, what Sayanacharya wrote, later on Vidyaranya Swamiji gave an interpretation on that, on the Sayanacharya's commentary on the Vedam, because those require the very learned scholars in the Shastram, learned personalities, they continuously update their understanding from various other sources as well, because Sayanacharya was so well known and Vidyaranya Swamiji was also very well known at that time. We have to remember Vidyaranya Swamiji, he was a minister in the Vijayanagaram Empire. That was the empire. It is because of that empire that when the Turks attacked India and they came from the west, and they have practically controlled the whole of the north of India, but they couldn't go down further to the south to that extent as they did in the north, mainly because of this Vijayanagara Empire. They protected that. Krishnadevarayar and all that. They ruled that time. Krishnadevarayar's empire. Famous it was Vijayanagara Empire. And among them, he was the minister, this Vidyaranya Swamiji. He was a minister. At one stage he gave up everything and took sannyasam and came out. Famous he was. He wrote Panchadeshi and many other famous books. Famous books he has written. So this Vidyaranya Swamiji, he was interpreting on the Sayanacharya's Bhashyam on the Vedam, Rigvedam. At that time, a Brahmana asked a question to him, do you think that you can interpret the Vedam according to your way? Is that your property or not? He asked this question to Vidyaranya Swamiji. Vidyaranya Swamiji mentions this later about the same thing. He says here that that was his greatness. Because when Brahmana asked that question, he suddenly realized that I am not allowed to interpret Vedam. Vedam has its own conclusions. I have to understand and follow that, not that I interpret it the way I want it. Because we all have this nature in us to interpret things in a way we like it, and we'll follow that. That has to be avoided. That is the main thing. This is what accepting authority means, that not to interpret in your own way. You have to ask the question, is that what it means? That when instructions. So Chandrasekhara Bharati mentions about that,
He says that Vidyarani Swamiji told the Brahmana when he asked this question that it is not proper, and I agree with that, he said, and he apologized for that. But Chandrasekhar Bharati says, he said that he told the Brahmana that at that time the place where the Brahmana was living at that time, that was the same place where from Sainacharya has also come. So in other words, in Vedam, there are so many things addressing Lord Shiva also. There is another in all living entities seeing Shiva's presence there. That is known as Shadarudriyam. Shadarudriyam is another whole chapter about the presence of Rudra, Shiva. Shiva means soul. That's the meaning of Shiva. Don't bring it straight to the personality Shiva. Shiva means soul. The soul which is present in everyone, that is Shadarudriyam. So, whatever that Shadarudriyam prayers, what's interesting about that is, in whatever form Krishna appears, in whatever mood he comes here, Krishna won't be able to cheat the jnani. Jnani cannot be cheated. Because you remember in Puranam there are many stories. Krishna appeared in the front of form of an old person, or he appeared in the form of a woman, or he appeared in the form of a young boy, like this. But he didn't know, the devotee didn't know who it is. Devotee didn't know who it is. He thought it is some. You'll see a lot of stories like that in various places, isn't it? But jnanis, you can't cheat him. Because in whatever form Krishna comes, for him it is Krishna. For him it is Krishna. Because in Puranam you will see so many stories like this. That Krishna came in a particular form and nobody, he didn't understand that it was Krishna who has come in that way. Is it not? So but Jnana Margam, when Jnani realized his soul, you cannot cheat that person because he is always not possible to cheat him because in all bodies, every body, what that jnani sees is Krishna within that body. That is why Krishna is saying there, Purushasya Parapartha. If you look in that, because jnani sees Purusha inside everybody. When you see the body only, you won't be able to recognize somebody. If Krishna has come, I can give you many examples if you want to know, if you know the stories, but I can't tell all the stories, we don't have so much time. That there is a stories in different instances. Sometimes Krishna has appeared as an older person. Sometimes Krishna has appeared as a young boy. You will see the Vrindavanam, Krishna sometimes came as a young boy, given milk to the Goswamis, and nobody knew who he is. Then they asked, then they found out that he is a boy from the village, you know, related to Govardhana Hill and past him, instead of installation of Govindaji and all that. Later on, Sanatana, I think it was Rupa Goswami or Sanat Goswami, they say that it was Krishna who had come, they realized it in the dream, Krishna came and spoke to him and all that. You'll see. Like that, there are many, many stories all over the country, you will see. Relationship with that, Krishna has appeared in different forms. Tukaram's life also, you see this kind of incidents happening. And many other instances. But fully realized soul, Krishna won't be able to do that with him. Because for him only Krishna exists. Whoever comes, it's Krishna for him. That realization is in the... It's not mundane, you have to remember that. It is because why? Purushasa Parapartha. That first line. That's why it is. Purushasa Parapartha. He is seeing the Purusha inside another person. And then they can't have any confusion after that, isn't it? Purushasa Parapartha Bhaktya Labhyasta Nanyaya. Andastani Bhutani Yenam Sarvam Idam Tatam. He says that, isn't it? So therefore, in a Purushasa Parapartha, and it is that Purusha who is inside, he is presenting himself in front of us as Jiva. All Jiva is also like that. That Purusha is inside and is presenting in front of us in the form of Jiva, false ego. If you look into the 7th chapter, Krishna mentions there, that is what Krishna calls it as para prakriti, isn't it? If you call, remember in the 7th chapter, what Krishna says there? Krishna says that Jiva is para prakriti, is not a para prakriti. Because it is the same Krishna who is come as para prakriti, as Jiva in front of us. If you look into the 7th chapter, you will see there that
Bhumirapanalo vayu khammano buddhi revacha ahankara iti yame bhinna prakriti ashtatha. That is the fourth verse. There he mentioned about bhumi, apam, analam, vayu, kham, manam, buddhi, evacha. All the eight things he mentions there. Bhumi, that is the what is known as ahankaram, including ahankaram. All of that is bhinna prakriti ashtatha. Ashtatha prakriti he calls that. And in the very next verse he says, apareyam itastvanyam prakritim vidhime param jivabhudam mahabaho yayetam dharyate jagat. That is the fifth verse. If you look in the fifth verse, you will see there that apareyam itastvanyam prakritim vidhime para prakriti is jivabhudam, says. So jivabhudam is para prakriti. So Krishna has come and to us it appears as jiva, but he actually is para prakriti. It is para prakriti. Para prakriti, that is what that seventh chapter is talking about. That it appears in front of us as a jiva, but actually he is Krishna, has dressed up like that and come in the form of a jiva bhudam mahabaho yedam dharyade jagat. That seventh chapter is so important. That is where the knowledge of the absolute, Prabhupada gives the title as knowledge of the absolute. If you do not have the knowledge of the absolute, all the knowledge what will be a relative thing of the relative world. We will interpret Shastram, spiritual life, in terms of the relative world. That's what we will do when you don't have the knowledge of the absolute. That's why this chapter is so important, 7th chapter. And Krishna is mentioned here, apareyam idastvanyam prakritim vidhime param jivabhudam mahabaho yayetham dharyade jagat. We discussed this verse in the 7th chapter when we talked about that. So please go back and listen to that again if you want to. So paraprakriti, there he called it as paraprakriti. Jivabodham maha aparayam idastvanyam prakriti vidhime param. That is paraprakriti. Krishna calls it as, and that jivabodham mahabaho yedam dharyade jagat. He says here, in everyone, inside everybody, in the form of that paraprakriti, which means that awareness, that is what it is. Paraprakriti is only symptom. What we have now is that awareness of that inside. And that is not jiva. Actually, that awareness is not jiva. And that is Krishna himself who is inside us, Antaryami. Inside. He himself has come. We are seeing it as jiva separately from him. But in reality, it is him who is dressed up as jiva and presenting himself before us. Presenting himself before us. So as much as this comes into our realizations, every time when we see a person, when he looks at us, through when we look into his eyes, actually we will realize that it is not him that is looking, it is Krishna is looking through the eyes. Krishna is speaking to us through the mouth. Krishna is talking to us through his tongue. Krishna is hearing through his ears. That realization will come later. That is how that jiva bhavam goes away and Antaryami realization comes from inside. Apareyam idastvanyam prakritim vidhime param jivabhudam mahabaho yayedam jayate jagat. Yayedam jayate jagat. Every time somebody is hearing something, we have to understand that Krishna is sitting inside and hearing that. Krishna is sitting inside and hearing that. And when somebody is taking prasadam, you have to think that Krishna is eating the prasadam inside that person. Inside that person. If this stage has come to someone, that is called parabhakti. When this stage comes to someone, that is called parabhakti. That's what is called parabhakti. So for this, it may require a whole lifetime training. Whole lifetime tapas, austerity and tapasya is required. And if we execute that for whole lifetime, little by little, it may come to us. It may come to us. And if there is Krishna's grace, this can happen. If there is Krishna's grace, this can happen. And that is why in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna mentions that
చక్షుర్యథ అంజన సంప్రయోక్తం యథా యథాత్మా పరిమృజ్యతే. సో ఏకాదశ స్కందం కృష్ణ మెన్షన్స్ దిస్ టు ఉద్ధవ. యథా యథాత్మా పరిమృజ్యతే సౌ మల్పుణ్యఘాదా శ్రవణాభిధానై తథా తదా పశ్యతి వస్తు సూక్ష్మం చక్షుర్దివై అంజన సంప్రయోక్తం. కృష్ణ ఇస్ సేయింగ్ దట్ ఇఫ్ యూ ప్రాక్టీస్ దిస్ యథా యథాత్మా పరిమృజ్యతే సౌ, ఇఫ్ యూ కీప్ ఆన్ ట్రైనింగ్ అప్ యువర్ సెల్ఫ్ ఇన్ దిస్ డైరెక్షన్ మల్పుణ్యఘాదాశ్రవణాభిధానై, ప్రోసెస్ ఆఫ్ సాధన భక్తి, చాంటింగ్ ద హోలీ నేమ్, హియరింగ్ అబౌట్ కృష్ణ, అండర్స్టాండింగ్ ద ప్రిన్సిపల్ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణ తత్వం ఎవ్రీథింగ్, దెన్ వాట్ విల్ హ్యాపన్? తథా తథా పశ్యతి వస్తు సూక్ష్మం. వెన్ హీ లుక్స్ అట్ ఎ పర్సన్ అండ్ సీస్ హిమ్, హీ విల్ నాట్ సీ దట్ పర్సన్స్ ఎక్స్టర్నల్ ఫార్మ్, రాదర్ సీ కృష్ణాస్ ప్రెసెన్స్ ఇన్సైడ్. కృష్ణ ఈజ్ లుకింగ్ అట్ హిమ్ త్రూ హిస్ ఐస్, కృష్ణ ఈజ్ హియరింగ్ హిమ్ త్రూ హిస్ ఇయర్స్, and all senses it is Krishna who is operating through that. Then what happened? Chakshuddivai anjana samprayuktam, just like a person who has got cataract inside, how he gets treated and his vision gets clear, in the same way vision will get clear and he will see Krishna's presence in everything. That is how that transformation happens. And Krishna mentions that in the Ekadasha Skandam to Uddhava. Krishna mentions that. Yatha yadalma parimrujyade sau malpunya ghadha shravanabhidhanehi tatha tatha pashyadi vastu sushmam. That sushma vastu, Krishna inside sushmam he is, isn't it? The soul is sushmam. Tatha tatha pashyadi vastu sushmam. He will start seeing the sushma vastu, that most subtle vastu inside, chakshuddivai anjana samprayuktam. Just like a person gets cured of cataract, we will get cured of our faulty vision, what we have at the moment. At the moment, what is our fault? We are seeing everyone separate, separate, separate. Dvaidam in everything. He is separate, she is separate, man, woman, boy, girl, and everything based on the body. Isn't it? Indian, American, European, all kinds of identities. That's what we are seeing now. Krishna is saying that is nothing to do with you. That is all based on the body. That's why he says, Chashuddivai Anjana Samprayuktam. That is what that means. So we'll discuss it next Saturday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.